shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast.
Well, I'm Katie Nagrand.
I'm Chris Jeffa.
Like, what are you doing?
What is that?
I don't know. I'm just trying on a new thing.
We have a very special guest today. It's Madison.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Madison.
Madison baked us cookies.
I really did.
Nobody else has done that yet. Step it up, guests.
Actually.
Oh.
Oh, God. Oh, no, I forget her name.
Did you hold back the cookies?
Episode 3.
Alexa?
Alexa.
Oh, Alexa baked us cookies. She's my friend. It's fine. Doesn't count.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. It totally counts. She's great, too.
Oh, no.
But were hers decorated like cats? Just saying.
No.
No.
No, they weren't decorated. Yeah, you made us kitten cookies, mm-hmm. which is very sweet of you.
It's the theme of my life.
Cats?
Yeah, cats is a theme.
Cats.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to really drive yourself away from a stereotype.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, a feminist cat lady?
I got bangs, a Peter Pan collar, and a whole lot of cats.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just really... I like to fit into the manic pixie dream girl stereotype and then crush the souls of the men instead of lifting them up.
Subvert it from the
inside. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're an internal operative.
Exactly.
A manic pixie nightmare bitch.
Sad men are attracted to me, and then...
Like, oh, you like the Smiths? I like the Smiths. And then you kill them while
No, but
sleeping.
I flattered had someone say that to me. Be like, you like the Smiths?
Like, it's amazing that you're somebody who likes the
and
Smiths.
And I was like, oh my God, I have a vagina and I like the Smiths. I know, it's shocking.
It's amazing that Morrissey has ever spoken to the truths of my heart.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh man, this is
real life?
This is the most, you know, and he was totally fulfilling every stereotype. He was a sad British man.
You're like, oh, we're just doing 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Basically.
Except I crushed him that night instead of in several months.
Oh, you could have played the long game on this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But only at your own peril.
Yeah. No I think fun. It's kind of probably pretty exhausting to have to...
I mean, probably.
Mm-hmm.
What probably. Were we saying about emotional labor?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
I was just making a delighted face the whole time. So Madison and Katie have met before, but not really chatted, and so this is one of those getting to know you kinds of podcasts.
Yes.
And then for me, like, I know you and we've hung out a few times, but don't really know much about you at all.
No.
And you posted something on Facebook the other day that was just like, fuck, small talk, I just want to get into, like, deep shit, and I was like, oh, fuck,
we have a place for you.
Yeah, let's talk about stuff.
Yeah, my office is moving into, it's just four women in an office, and, like, we walk in, and, like, you know, it's a 22-year-old, me, and I'm 27 in 2 days, and then my boss is 32 and the other woman is 40, and so we're all like pretty young and everyone's super open. So like my coworker is 22, walked in and was just like, oh fuck, my IUD hurts. and so like we never did small talk, and now we're moving into this office which like has 100 people in it, and we're just kind of integrated into this office Ooh. environment, and we went to visit them, and like the first thing one of the people said was like, oh, you girls are working here, you look like teenagers. And I was like, oh fuck, right, small talk, I forgot about this. And I just had this like horrible sinking feeling of how much I'm gonna have to pretend.
Do you guys have kids?
Well, my key is remember the kids' names, you don't have to remember their names then.
Oh, yeah, how's little Brithelda and
exactly.
Hunter and
yeah.
Jade Dradebrin?
I would make a joke, but then it's like, your name is also Madison.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah, because everyone under the age of 4 is named Madison now.
Yeah.
You probably didn't have a lot of people with the same name growing up.
Yeah.
No.
But if you went into kindergarten
now. All these goddamn toddlers.
I know. I'm like very resentful of other people named Madison. Like, I hate them. Like, I meet them and I'm like,
you're going down, bitch.
Yeah, I was like, fucking bitch, hater.
Of course, I was born in 1985, so by the time I got to grade 4, there were 4 other Katies in my class.
Oh, yeah.
Like, most popular, girl's name's 85, Jennifer, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica,
yeah.
Catherine or Katie, maybe Samantha, maybe a Christina.
Yeah, there was lots of Christinas in my school.
Yeah.
So we had like a Catherine, a Kathy, a Katie, and a Kate is what we had to do.
Oh,
and I'm
my
like,
gosh.
There's no way I'm taking Kathy or Kate. Like, uh-uh, not doing it.
No, Kathy is Kathy's a soccer mom name.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a can I speak to the manager name.
It's a blonde bob name.
It 100% is.
I'm just thinking of the person that I know as Kathy, and she's an older politician, and that's exactly what she looks like.
Yay! See? Nailed it.
Nailed it.
That's so funny.
It's totally like a, well, I mean, like, and a John and Kate plus eight kind of haircut.
Yes, that's exactly it. Like, that's exactly
excuse me, I was told...
I was thinking about the parade of stars hollow high moms on Gilmore Girls, and that's all, that was the joke, is that they all had the same blonde bob haircut, so.
It was the parade of the suburban mother.
Exactly.
Oh, they've got a lot to deal with. Yeah. They need a good wash and wear haircut.
Exactly. I'm like, I can't really make fun of you that much for your haircut, because, like, I'm sure it's very practical.
I definitely accidentally have the same haircut that my mom had, like, throughout all of the 80s and
90s. Oh, that's very funny.
It's just styled differently. She would perm hers, and it would be just, like, a poof, like, a hardcore 80s business lady, like, poof in the front and then tight in the back, and she would always make me pick out, like, any holes in the back. She'd, like, crouch down and be like, do I have any holes? Because we have very, very, very fine hair.
Yeah.
So we don't want any bald spots, right?
But mine is just, like, I love that.
Yeah, I would, but mine, my, like, yeah, and mine's just... poof. Like, it's just like a troll doll's hair.
When you slowly realize you're becoming more like your mother by accident.
It's not, it wasn't a slow, I mean, it has been gradual forever, but I've just been so aware of it at every possible interval. Like, her words will come out of my mouth. I'm like, God damn it, get back in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's cram it down with a cat cookie.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm never gonna be like my mom, even though she's like super amazing and lovely and everything, but then it was just like, you know, she's a nurse and all of this, and I'm like, oh, I'm never going to do nursing, and she's been a public health nurse for a long time, and then it's like, oh, here I am working in harm reduction. Oh, I'm getting my master's in public health. Oh, shit.
You're like, I'm not that, I'm a couple steps.
Yeah, so, like, when my mom retires, I could technically take her job in Gibson's and just keep doing it. And
yeah, that wouldn't be
I've
bad.
Considered it.
They would just switch her out for a slightly newer model.
They wouldn't even have to change the name tags. It just says Jeppa, like.
And they'll just turn the J into a C somehow.
Yeah, it works.
That's how typography functions, right?
Sure. Exactly like that.
Oh, man.
I'm, like, trying to eat this cookie so quietly over here.
No, just do it.
No, I hate the sound of chewing so much. I don't want to subject anyone to it.
I'm like that, too, but only with cereal.
That's a very loud chew.
It's a disgusting chew.
You're like that with toothbrushing.
I hate the sound of any kind of brush against a thing. So a toothbrush or, like, a scrubby brush, even that's starting to give me, like...
How about, like a
somebody
brush?
Brushing your hair.
Yeah.
That's okay. But it's like
time.
When it's bristles on a hard surface.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm even thinking about it, and like it just makes me have like opposite ASMR.
Oh yeah, so that's like you did not get through the Sharon Lawson Bram album very easily as a child.
I hated that fucking song. And
I
now
won't
it's
even
in
sing
my
it.
Head.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had to suggest
you brush your
it.
Teeth.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about this. But because my mom wouldn't let me listen to that stuff because she wrote children's music.
Oh, she was too competitive.
Yeah, and so she
get
was
get that
just
Raffy
like,
shit out of here.
That was exactly it. She's like, I hate
there's
Raffy.
There's no goddamn banana phone in this house.
Yeah,
oh my
so
God.
It'd just be like her children's music. And she's like, ugh, I don't want to listen to Raffy.
Raffy's the shit.
Yeah, no, there was no Raffy in my
you
house.
You couldn't watch Fred Penner's Place.
Fred Penner was actually okay.
Oh my God, did your mom have an affair with Fred Penner?
You know, I wish. I did get to meet Babar.
What? That's not true.
I mean, it was like,
he's
an
anthropomorphic
I
elephant.
Was featured on TVO and Sesame Park for her. I should have
back up. Your mom's a children's musician?
Well, no, she writes children's music, but she also is a trauma specialist and worked at like a suicide hotline, and yeah, she does a lot of really random. Stuff, so.
She's really experiencing the whole of human.
Yeah, yeah, like. But like, yeah. So she would like, you know, be on the phone with someone about like, hey, your daughter's on crack and gonna kill herself, and then it like 5 minutes later, it'd be like her singing like, everybody knows I love my toes, and it was like just a really manic. manic experience.
Real pendulum.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I could see like. Being like, oh, and then I can sort of help people get through hard things with fun songs. Maybe you could, like, put it together. or they were just too totally
when you're on probation, yeah. You can't do stuff.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what it was. It was just, like, this random, I have no idea. Anyway, she still does it sometimes, but it's just a very, yeah, it's a very bizarre combination of things
yeah.
from her, so...
My mom wrote a children's book, and she still, like, has been writing it since I was a kid, and it's still never finished.
Hmm.
And she's very into, like, categorization, and so, like, it's all about Canadian animals.
It's called, like, the taxonomy of childhood or something.
Yeah! Yeah, and so it's, like, every character, like, starts with a different letter of the alphabet. So there's, like, Aerith the goose and B the bear and then C the cougar, like, D the duck. Like, okay. They all have different names like that. And it's, like, this goose that decided not to fly south. And fell in love with a salmon who then had to, like, leave him and spawn.
This is just sad.
I know.
That's tragic.
It is actually kind of tragic.
They definitely don't have compatible genitals.
She knows they're usually short. Children's books are usually short.
This is, like, it's her life's work. I'm really interested to see if she'll ever, like, publish the thing. But she's, like, painted illustrations and, kinds of stuff for it. It's just been, like, an ongoing project for, like, her whole, like, for my whole life.
Wow.
Very interesting.
So these characters are, like, intimately entwined in, like, your consciousness, kind of.
Wow.
Yep. My mom plays golf.
That's very cute. My mom plays golf, too.
She's a good cook. Like, she's never written anything other than an email to her golf ladies in her life, though. So she's like, I'm the rule fascist. That's what they call, that's what they email me, like, oh, is this against a golf rule? And then I have to rule on the golf rule.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like, that's so sweet.
I was like, thank you, Mom, you've cured my insomnia. I'm gonna sleep forever now.
Snooze.
That's so mean. I care about the things she cares about.
That's awesome.
As much as she cares about the things that I care
about.
Yeah,
exactly. You have to kind of meet halfway.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Halfway is a field, like, way the fuck out there. Probably close to Cloverdale, where she lives. Oh, boy. Mm. Moms.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They have whole lives apart from raising us.
Yeah, pretty interesting. It's a thing that's always on my mind as I'm, like, thinking about having children, where it's just, like, what is my life gonna be? And what kind of weird stories are my kids gonna tell? It's like, ugh, my mom, like, abandons me for, like, 2 hours every day to, like, go to the attic with her girlfriend, and they just, like, laugh and record it. So dumb.
But then you, like, half tell yourself that they'll be like, no, my kid's gonna understand that I'm fulfilling my creative dreams. So, like, they're
These
gonna...
children are such unselfish creatures.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I do that all the time. Like, you know, when I came to the realization I wanted kids, I was like, fuck.
Well, I don't want to want them.
Like, yeah, I really didn't. But then I was like, oh, and I'm sure they'll appreciate having, like, two academic parents and, like, blah, blah. I'm like, no, they won't.
I know a lot of children of academics.
I know. They'll be alcoholics. It's not going to be good.
They're going to be definitely not liked among their peers because their vocabularies will be too good. I didn't even have the academic parents, and I was like that. People were like, fuck you, weirdo.
Oh, no. I was, like, tortured elementary school for that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Tortured. Oh, yeah. And I had a sister.
You like big words. Why don't you eat this dictionary or something?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm glad he said shenary at the end of that. And you like big words. Eat this dick.
Shenary.
That's only four letters. That's not
It's a very small word. Might be a big thing, but a very small word.
Well, probably not.
Yeah.
Elementary
school. Oh, God, no.
Oh, Glavin. It's not good.
Mm-mm.
Oh, boy. So what have we been up to?
Yeah, how was your week?
My week, just flat out.
It didn't eat a dick.
My week kind of, you know what? I was super honest from the get-go this last week. I just, work fucking sucked.
Oh,
my
no.
boss is away, my colleague's away, so there's usually three staff members, and we're three of us all summer, all of us there, nothing to do, pretty much, and then the first week of class comes around, one of them's on vacation, the other one gets called away for a family emergency,
oh,
I'm the
no.
only person in the administration for my department, for my three departments, just all by myself for the first week, and it was fine, it was actually fine, nobody yelled at me, it was all cool, it was just very busy. And
lots of people dropping in on you
and
bothering
very
you.
Fragile, you know, like, aww. I would just say to people, like, I don't have time to do this right now. Like, everybody's like, well, where's nice Katie? This is, like, a weird, mean Katie. I'm like, I'm not here to just be a bucket for you to throw things in. You know?
I'm really,
so I was really
you
like,
told me some stories about, like, you standing up for yourself and
which
asserting
is, I sassed someone I probably shouldn't have, but I don't think I'm gonna get in trouble for it, because I was like, this really isn't my problem, and I'm busy, and I don't need to listen to this right now.
I totally get that, though. Like, today I had to, like, take a stand, like, this morning, with one of my cat fosters. And you'd be, like, surprised, like, essentially, like, they're like, I want a cat, I don't want a cat, I want a cat, get rid of this cat, and, like, act like cats are trading cards.
So they'll take a cat and they'll be like, I don't like this cat,
Yeah, or they'll be like, this cat peed, I'm like, well, or, they like, this cat peed on, like, a couch, and I was like, well, you let it out and didn't follow the rules, so, whatever. So I finally was like, I've been so nice and approachable the past, like, 3 months I've been doing, like, foster coordinating, and then finally I was like, you gotta make up your mind, lady. I was like, listen, I work a full-time job, I'm doing my PhD applications, and I'm trying to work 20 hours a week, or I'm trying to volunteer about 20 hours a week with VOCRA, and I was like, so make up your mind.
I like it.
And I was just like, I mean, I didn't say the cats aren't trading cards thing, but, like, I came very near, and they're, like, super preppy, like, a May-December romance couple living in North Van who play tennis, and I'm just like, they're like, we thought we'd be great at this because our house is open concept.
Holy fuck. That, I couldn't write that as a hilarious, like... That is like a fucking
Harry.
Is it Harry Shearer who does that? Who does the fake documentaries, Best in Show? Yeah. Who does that? Is that what's his name? The guy who did Harry Met Sally. Oh cripes, Rob Reiner. Mm. Oh, actually, I don't even know if he didn't direct those. He was just in Spinal Tap.
Yeah, that's why
I got confused.
Right.
But yeah, no, those
yeah,
like
you couldn't write dialogue.
The mockumentary
like that.
Stuff, yeah, like that sounds like you're doing like a VOCRA mockumentary.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, we did joke about
this would be a talking head interview or something with the two of them.
We did joke about. I said we should do a parody to raise funds that instead of like 16 and pregnant, it should be 6 months and pregnant. Because we have so many like moms who are like so young.
Yeah.
And so we were like making up like fake dialogue that would be like voiceovers, like. Like,
my life had just begun and it was already over.
Yeah, well, I always joke that they're teen moms who just, like, want a party. And so it's just, like, she hadn't taken a stroll in the back alley in weeks. And, like, how would she tell, how would she explain the two tuxedo cats to her boyfriend?
The, the chair of my department got a VOCRA cat on my recommendation,
and really?
The cat's a demon.
Oh, yeah.
An absolute demon. And I feel kind of bad, but my chair is also like, I love her. She's great. It's fine. She stopped mauling me constantly. But it's like the commitment. She's like, this is a full-on adoption. She was like, well, I'm committed now, so this is my cat till it's not alive anymore.
See, but that's the thing is that, like, that is something I admire.
Yeah.
And you also, like, with feral cats or with cats who are super shy, it's, like, such an achievement. Like, I had one foster who sat and ate his dinner in his bathtub to keep the cat company and not intrude on her space.
Wow.
Aww.
And I was like, I love you.
That's really cute.
That's next level shit.
That is
shit. And then you have other people who are just like, this cat hissed. I'm like,
I don't.
I was like, yeah, I'm sure you're not. I'm like, I'm sure you're not a walk in the park either. Like,
I would just feel so embarrassed, like, bringing a cat back. Like, I'd be like, I am, here's $500. I feel horrible.
I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. This is not your fault. It's not the cat's fault. It's my fault. I'm not good enough.
Yeah, people blame the cat. I'm like, no, you're awful. I was like, the cat.
I'm sure the cats suck from time to time. But
well, from time to time. But, like, that's more a personality mismatch kind of thing. Because, like, I work as matchmaker for cats and people.
Oh,
so I, like, look at their personality profiles and look at, like.
Cat Yenta.
And look at, like, the people's personality profiles and I, like, match them.
That is the cutest thing ever.
So, like, that's what I do. And so I'm just like.
You're both introverted and you love Jeopardy. This is going to work perfectly.
Like, pretty much. It's like one person was like, well, I'm a nurse and I work long hours. I'm like, well, this cat only likes to eat when people aren't in the house. So I think this will work.
That's
amazing.
Random. So you get to do like personality profiles of all these cats and like, do they hang out with you and you get to know them and you like write them up or like?
Well, I get to know the fosters and so I get to know them and then the cats, sometimes I get to know them and sometimes just other people who see them on the day-to-day because I'm not actually working in the shelter. And then sometimes I'll go on the shelter and meet them and stuff like that. But yeah, so essentially I like read, like I really am like the, I'm an algorithm essentially. Like I read profiles and then I match.
That's like my dream job.
Yeah. And
I
I'm like,
for people.
And I was like, yeah. I really wish I got paid for this.
Ain't that the way?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're good at something, do it for free forever till you're exhausted.
Exactly,
I believe how it's said.
Well, I essentially had to have, like, my partner was like, you need to cut down on the cat stuff. And I was like, you're right.
Tell me what to do.
I was like, I think you're right. I was like, I'm very tired. Very tired, and I'm hating people more than usual.
Oh, that's tough. It's really tough. Volunteering can be very thankless, which is not great.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a lot of volunteers that are coming through my office. They really want to get involved in, like, local politics and whatever. And I'm like, cool, I have so much data entry for you to do. And they're like, ugh.
Oh, that's not what I want to do.
And so this poor guy was very gung-ho, and he, like, showed up on a day. Like, he was just like, oh, I just decided to come by and do volunteering. And it was like, today wasn't a good day for him to come by. I was super busy. I had lots of meetings. And I couldn't really spend a lot of time. I didn't know he was coming. And so he just, like, sat in my office for 2 hours.
Oof.
With his eyes closed in the corner.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, but that's, like, part of the problem is that, like, when people volunteer for things, like, I mean, I find this, like, with my fosters a lot. It's, like, they think of themselves as martyrs. And, like, they're like, why aren't you using me? I'm so good at that. Like, I'm such a good person. And I'm like, are you doing this because you want to be doing this? Or are you doing this because you're just like,
you want to feel good about yourself?
Look at the sacrifices I make in this world to make it a better place. And I'm like, there's a lot of Christian organizations you can volunteer with in Africa if you want to do that.
You just want, like, a nice picture you can put up on your Facebook profile and hold, like, a baby that's darker than you and be like, look how good I am.
Yeah,
you don't have to do that with the cat. That's dark. That's really awful. I volunteered last summer with some, like school programs for kids during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with, like, I'm being so careful about what I'm not allowed to say, like, what the nature of the work was or anything specific about the kids.
Oh my God, I'm so curious.
I know, but I love this one story just because it's just, I think I've told it on the podcast before, but there's just this one girl who was like, we're not allowed to touch the kids, but they can touch us.
Oh, wow.
And they did constantly. And I got sick so many times over the summer. Like, I got colds after a cold after a cold after a cold last summer. I was like, oh, this sucks. I love these kids, but how do I reach these kids? But they just made me so physically ill from being around them because they're just so sticky and they touch your face stuff. But one was like, I want to try your shoes on. I was like, I don't want you to try my shoes on. She's like, but I would like to try them on very much, please. So I'm like, fine. And I let her try my shoes on. She's like, oh my God, your feet are so big and they're sweaty. It's like, yeah. Well, now you know not to ask for that ever again, you
She's
little
learned
weirdo.
Her lesson.
Yeah.
She's learned her lesson. But it's so true. You get so sick. Like, my sister
so
has
honest.
Four kids.
Oof.
And I was so sick.
That's a lot.
That's
of,
too many.
When I visited them, well, they were twins.
Both of them?
Well, no. An 11-year-old, an 8-year-old, and 2 3-year-old twins.
Oh, okay. So, like, two. Oh, a third baby. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, my partner and I went and visited them.
3-year-old twins. That's adorable and horrible.
Oh, yeah. And when I went and visited them, I was sick within, like, half a day. And the boys, the older two boys, were just, like, it was, like, she's like, I live in a frat house. Because they just walk around in their boxers with superhero shirts on and play video games.
It sounds like they're taking care of themselves and don't have to deal with it.
3-year-old twins. Oh my God. Are they all boys or?
One girl.
One of the twins?
Yeah, one of the twins.
So they're not identical then?
No. And Sadie's just like a little weirdo. I love her.
Oh,
like,
good.
But she like loves playing guitar.
Huh.
She likes to sits there and just like strums guitar.
That's cute.
And she like loves her little piano and she loves water and will like just hang out in the tub for 3 hours.
Okay.
But
kind
she's
of kid.
A she's
yeah.
a total little weirdo.
Yeah, exactly.
And she flips her hair like a little prima donna and goes like,
that's
and I'm
really
just
the
like,
the weight
perfect.
Of the world's on her shoulders.
Yeah,
clearly.
Exactly. So I was just like, you're gonna be just fine.
Yeah,
yeah. I grow up, she's gonna have either the biggest or the quietest personality in the world. Growing up with three boys.
Well, I was really shy when I was a kid, and now I'm not at all. And I have no idea when the switch went off, but it went off big.
You got lots of siblings.
My sister's 9 years older than me, and my brother's 7 years older than me. So. I think that kind of helped teach me how to be a loud mouth.
To be heard.
Yeah,
the
yeah, exactly.
Totally.
But yeah, I think they, well, my brother was, like, super shy, but when it was just him and I hanging out, he would just, like, torture me. Like, he, like, locked me in the bathroom and turned off the lights from the outside and locked the door and was like,
oh my God. That's what girls in grade 7 did to me when I was, like, second grade at school.
No!
They're like, Bloody Mary's gonna get you.
Oh,
threw me in the bathroom
yeah.
and, like, barricaded the door.
Oh my God, that's
out.
Cruel.
Guess who still has trouble peeing in public bathrooms?
Yeah,
it's
I'm
me.
Not surprised at that. I can't have shower curtains closed. when I go, I can't.
Because of Psycho, or?
No, even worse.
Just
even
don't
more,
like the way it feels when it touches you.
Even more embarrassing, it's because of the Who Shot Mr. Burns episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, my God.
And Smithers walks in, and he pulls back the shower curtain in his dream, and Mr. Burns is there naked, and that terrified me.
Oh, my God. I thought when you said The Simpsons, well, I mean, you said Who Shot Mr. Burns, but I immediately went to that episode of The Simpsons where Homer pulls the gummy DeMilo off the babysitter's butt, and then the news is, like, watching his house constantly.
Yeah.
They're like... And then Homer, like, is getting out of the shower one day, and he sees all the news people and slips and pulls the shower curtain over himself. It's like, Homer Simpson sleeps in a special oxygen tent that he says gives him sexual powers.
Yeah. You know, I wish that was it. It would probably just be funnier.
I need to keep this open or I'll get weird sexual powers beyond what I already possess.
No, it was definitely just Mr. Burns in the shower.
No, well, they really made him as terrifying as possible. Whenever they would show him naked, it was so, like, pathetic but also terrifying.
Always like,
you're too aware of mortality, young an age.
You know the sexy BDSM 70-year-old that lives in our neighborhood?
Wait, what?
What?
Fog?
The guy from fucking, who started Next?
Yeah, he's like a kink guy, and he's 70, and he wears like super short shorts all year
round.
Oh my
god, I thought you said 7.
Oh, no.
Oh, 70. Thank God.
No, he's old, not super young.
Okay, 70's fine.
Yeah, but he's like super, super ripped, like he's super exercise-y and muscly and stuff like that. But I saw him today, this morning, and he looks like old and frail now, and it made me really sad. That's a bummer of a
story.
He's
probably like still putting stuff up his butt and stuff.
Yeah, and do you know what? He lived his life to the fullest.
I think he's still going pretty strong, but like, yeah, definitely. He did flog me once at it was like a kink trade show or something like that.
He's like, why not get one from the master?
Well, that's a story to tell at his funeral.
Yeah. Caitlin Fontana and I went to do research. It was like the very first Vancouver Sex Expo, which like is basically just like a dildo trade show.
Yeah.
Corsets.
Just like all these really, really bad, horrible plastic things that just like it always smelled like a dollar store.
They're like, you can shove this up in every orifice. We have one for your ear, we have one for your nose.
Ooh, sweet, an ear dildo.
Yeah.
But so we did it for like the UBC arts newspaper or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's go do research for, you know, whatever. And so we went to they had like a kink village in the middle of it. And so Fog was there giving like flogging. And
a fogging?
Yes. And so I got up on the like St. Andrew's Cross, and just like, yeah, and he like tied me to that and spanked my butt a little bit with a little whip, and then he ate my sandwich.
Oh, what? That's not what I thought you were gonna say.
No, I did not.
I was like, whoa.
The temperature just got...
I was just like, oh, wow. I did not think that's
not
where it was going.
You just ate a sandwich that you had made?
I had a sandwich in my hand, and he totally dommed me. He was like, give me that sandwich.
And then you
like,
ate... You're
it's
like, okay.
It's mine. And he was like, give it. And he just took a bite and then gave it back to me.
That's really fucking
funny. Oh my god!
Did that do anything for you? You're like, no, I wanted that sandwich.
I don't know. It kind of...
You were like, oh,
it did not do anything for you.
It's funny, like, I hate being told what to do so much, but in certain circumstances...
No, but do you know what? That's, like, isn't that, like, the stereotype that, like, women who...
Like to be in control.
Like to be in control are just, like, do whatever you want to me. Like, when they get into bed, like, please, give me a break. I'm so tired of being in control.
Yeah,
I'm so just, sleepy.
I'm just so competent. Please, just...
please dominate me.
Please relieve my duty for just one moment.
Like, this is a break. I need a vacation.
That's the stereotype of, like, the high-powered businessman who's into, like, being treated like a baby or whatever.
I have a friend who's a former dominatrix, and she said, like, yep, all of those things that you hear are totally true.
That's what my friend who's a dominatrix said, and she said the exact same thing, and she specializes in, like, intense humiliation, and she's like, it's fucking great. She's like, because she
I'm
said...
in the wrong industry.
She said...
It'd be less embarrassing to be in the sex industry than in academic administration.
Yeah, you get flogged all the time in academic administration.
Yeah, and I don't even get any bonuses for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it doesn't even turn you on.
I get humiliated on a pretty regular basis. So...
Yeah, well, she was telling me, she's just like, she said for her, being a dominatrix was so funny. Because the whole situation is, like, really fun. And, like, sex is really funny.
It's super funny.
It's hilarious. And then, like, you know, sex trade shows, like, dildos are hilarious. And, like, all that is so funny. So she was just, like, always laughing. So that's how she got into the humiliation thing, because she's just like, it's so funny that I just laugh at these men and tell them they're pathetic. And I'm like, that's everything I want.
Oh, my God. I would do that.
I want to do that. Yeah, I was like, I do that on a regular basis, but people get mad at me.
I've been giving that out for free on Twitter for so long.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I did in grad school. I was like, fuck. Could have gotten paid for this.
Oh man, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Ugh, I'm in the wrong industry. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, my friend who does this or has historically done that work, and I don't know if she does anymore, but was like, yeah, it's very cathartic, honestly, like at the end of the week, because she also worked in an office at the same time, so it was kind of like I just got to imagine that it was my boss.
Oh yeah, that's cute.
You know, just leave him like wobbling.
Well, older white men look the same.
It's very true. So
just it's blend into true. One white marshmallow mass.
Those cookies are so good.
Oh, good.
I'm good. Laughing so hard about that because it's very true. The cookie thing, and also that they all look very much the same.
Yeah.
Or they sound the same more than they even. They
yeah,
just, like,
more
their
than
vibe
they look
is
the
always
same.
Identical.
You know what these cookies taste like? Is those chocolate Teddy Grahams.
Oh
my
god,
exactly
really?
What it tastes like.
Yeah. That's
the texture's
awesome.
Quite similar too.
Mm-hmm. These are so good.
They're oh, very I'm generous. So glad. They're, yeah, they were, well, as we were talking about, I've just been baking a lot because I started watching the Great British Bake Off because it's cheaper than therapy.
Yeah.
And
when I was going
everyone's
through,
so nice to each other.
I discovered that show. My friend Luna was like, this is an amazing show. You should watch it. And I started watching it after going through like a really bad, like scary thing at work. And I was dealing with like mega anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started watching it. And it's just so soothing mm-hmm. for the soul. Everyone's so nice to each other. The hosts are so gorgeous and like really kind. And I just love watching them like make all their tasty treats.
Yeah.
I really just want to be Sue Perkins when I grow up.
Well, yeah. I mean, I always think you do.
I think that if I go to the UK and if I do any stand-up there, I'm going to just introduce myself. Because you always have to do your intro as, like, a little bit of self-deprecation, like a little bit of, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It's like, that's trite, but it always works. Mm-hmm. So if I feel like, I know, you guys are like, hey, when did Sue Perkins have sex with Elmo and have a baby? Because that's what I look like. Or Ronald McDonald,
go,
if you prefer.
Go blazer shopping with her.
Oh, we would get fine blazers together. Mm-hmm. It would be very sassy.
It's
we
just
eat lots of good food.
They're all like, I mean, one of the things I noticed, I was just because the only two reality TV shows I like now, well, I like that one and I like Project Runway. Mm-hmm. And that's because as much as there's still like a bit of American drama in the Project Runway, it's like Tim Gunn just loves them all so much. Mm-hmm. And he's always talking about how much he loves them. And I'm like, they're like a family. And I'm like, sometimes they like give each other fabric. And then when I watched The Great British Bake Off, I was just like, that guy's not even mad
they're
at the fact that
fondant.
He wasn't even mad that someone accidentally used his custard.
Yeah, that
he
nice,
wasn't
nice
even
old man.
Upset. And in America, he
well,
would have murdered him. I haven't seen that. Shut up.
No, that's not the new one. That's last year's.
I know, but I'm watching season 4 and season 7 at the same time. Because I just started, and the first few years of reality TV shows are usually not that great. So I just jumped into season 4.
Okay.
And I'm watching season 7.
I want to see the one with Nadia.
I don't know.
That was the most recent.
That's not the one that's happening.
That's not the one
that's
happening.
I think it's season
6. Okay. Yeah, like, and I started watching it, though, because the Game of Thrones podcast I listen to, I sponsor them. Like, it's a Patreon, so I sponsor them. And one of the guys loves baking. And so they're like, everyone was like, we want you to cover the Great British Bake Off. And so it's like these two male comedians talking about the Great British Bake Off.
I want to listen to that.
It's Red Scott and Ivan Hernandez on Boris Gore and Swords. And it's delightful because they're both like kind of, they're, like, feminist men. They have primarily lady guests on. They've had, like, Guy Branum on and, like, stuff like that.
Guy Branum.
Yeah. I can't get enough of Guy Branum. You know how there's those people who are, like, oh, my God, we would so be friends in real life. But really,
really intelligent.
But yeah. I was, like, I really would think we would be great friends.
I just listen to, I don't usually listen to Bullseye, Jesse Thorne's podcast. No disrespect or anything. I mean, he's a podcast juggernaut.
Yeah.
But I accidentally downloaded an episode of because it had Margaret Atwood and Guy Branum.
And Guy Branum. Yeah.
And also
yeah,
Matt
listen
Runner,
to it yet.
Who I love.
Yeah. Awesome. I listened
so
to Pop
like,
Rocket.
The guy with Margaret Atwood was such a, it was all about
that's
her
incredible.
New book, which I just finished reading when I finally listened to this
is
podcast.
It good?
Like, I'll tell you about it after if you want to know anything about it.
I do.
It's
like, I'm
it is,
excited.
It's good. It's very weird.
Is that the one where someone, like, fucks a bear?
No.
Oh, that's another one.
No, that's got to be the Flood trilogy.
It wasn't.
Okay. Margaret Atwood has a bear fucking
book. No. That bear book is not by her. It's by someone else. It's by, I know exactly the
but
one
it's
you're talking about.
Oh, no, it is. You're right.
And my friend Tiana has told me, like, oh, people joke about that book because it looks so weird, but
apparently
it's actually
it's
an amazing piece of Canadian literature. It's very important. I was like, no, I just want to talk about the fact that this lady wants to fuck a bear. She's like, no, it's beyond that. It's more important than that.
And it's not like it's a not bear that, like, apparently it's not like a bear who acts like a person. It's just a bear.
And she fucks that bear.
She fucks the bear.
Fucks that bear. I don't know anything about it other than the fact that I've been told it's an incredible piece of Canadian literature. But it is not, so it's not.
No, okay, that was
my
mistake.
This book is about, it's a near future speculative book about,
yeah, don't
like,
you dare call it science fiction.
She'll get
you.
Really mad at you. She's easing up on it a bit lately. But she's kind of, it's like about, being constantly surveilled and also, like, the idea of, like, what do you want to give up for comfort? Are you willing to be, like, a permanently... Like, are you willing to spend a month of... 1 month on, 1 month off in a prison to be cared for the rest of the time?
Oh, like, my gosh.
So it's, like, a really weird, intentional community, and there's a lot of stuff about sex and sex bots and sexuality and
very
that kind of stuff.
Very cool.
She's very lewd. I find her books quite sexual.
I gotta start reading real fiction again, because I've just been reading, like, a lot of... To get through my master's,
yeah.
I read all of Game of Thrones. And then I read all of Outlander.
Excellent choices.
Have you been watching
frankly.
That show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course.
You've
and like, I would...
Cutting out pictures of Sam Heughan's butt and sticking him up in your locker.
Yeah. Well, like, I would...
Indeed.
I would finish watching it, and then I would, like, go into, like, the study, like, where my partner was, like, working. I'm like, hey. And
he's
like...
How you doing?
He's like, did you just finish watching Outlander? I'm like...
Did you just finish watching season 1, episode 7 of Outlander? I'm like, yeah,
again.
I'm just like, so, can we? Like, please?
Are you watching a specially edited version of season 1, episode 7 of Outlander that's just all the sex scenes, the nude stuff?
Season 2 wasn't nearly enough sex.
I know.
I was just like, I haven't seen, and like, I mean, I try a lot to, like, I've stopped trying to validate my trash taste sometimes, and now I've
You're
just, like, accepted it, and I'm just, like,
trash,
I just want to see,
yeah.
I just want to see boners.
You're a woman after my own heart.
Like, I was, like, when,
Just want to see bone, that's the name of the episode.
I really do. Nightmare Bitch.
Okay.
But, like, I get really upset when I'm just, like, I am just, like, Game of Thrones did to us this season, where they're, like, here's a dick in the worst possible circumstance.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, how about a hot dick?
How about
has sexy, non-rapey dick?
Bring Pablo Pascal back from the dead and
just show
him fucking.
He can have a zombie dick.
At the same time. Yeah.
I don't care.
Oh, he's so beautiful.
I'm just like, please.
Is he worth watching Narcos for? I wonder.
I've watched the first season and it's yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The answer is yes.
He's got kind of a grody mustache, but it
that's
still
never
makes it
stopped
work.
You ever,
no.
Christina.
We've all been there with a dirty mustache.
We've all been weak for specific dirty mustaches in our lives.
Yeah.
Manic Pixie Nightmare Bitch. All right, I got them both written down. They're both really long titles, but I like them. There's something... I still read a lot when I was doing my undergrad, which a lot of people are like, how do you even find the time? I'm like, I literally don't do anything else other than do schoolwork
yeah,
and
same.
Read my books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I can't not read fiction. Like, I just... I
yeah, yeah,
I'm
to, the same way.
I need it to shut off my anxiety brain.
Yep, me too.
And
yeah,
Chris and I have talked about this at length on the podcast where we love survivalist fiction.
Yeah,
of
me
any
too,
kind.
Yeah.
Like, so into it.
I love stuff about cults, too.
Mmm.
I need some recommendations from you, obviously. We've talked about... Okay. Well, Chris and I have talked at length about our love for the Caveman Sex books or the Clan of the Cave Bear series by Jean Owl, which is, like, about a Cro-Magnon woman who was raised by Neanderthals.
That sounds great.
It's fucking great. It's really good.
There are definitely some passages in there that are a little bit horny-inducing.
They're very sexual.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's why I have the Caveman Sex books and why it's really funny. My mom was trying
to get
me to read them for so long.
I like my porn with plot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Oh, this will work then for you. Yeah. It's very purple prose when it comes to the sexy, like, her woman cavern and all that kind of stuff.
And I'm like, great.
Good, great.
Perfect.
Can you describe the boner for me, please?
Yeah, okay. I'm like, more boners.
Now, does it list to port or starboard?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing a charcoal sketch as I'm listening to this audiobook here.
Veiny, smooth.
Are we talking circumcised? No, this is back in the day, so definitely not. Definitely not.
I hope he cleans under that foreskin.
It's in a turtleneck. Mm. I'm sure he does. They're very responsible.
Yeah. Well, like book cavemen.
This book, like, they describe this guy's dick a lot. Great. It's, like, perfect. Unusually large. And, like, normally most women can't handle it, but then, like,
this
woman...
bitch can!
Oh, my God.
Until one day.
She's got a cavernous vagina.
Clearly.
Oh, my gosh.
Or just very accommodating.
Oh, God.
I was talking with a girlfriend earlier, or, like, a couple weeks ago, about how, like, there's always one point in any woman who sleeps with men, or probably anyone who sleeps with men, there's that one point where you just see one that's just too scary big. And you're like, will not happen.
Like, oh, that's very nice, but I must bid you adieu.
Yeah, congratulations. Also, goodbye.
Farewell. This is not gonna, you're just gonna... Oh, it just sounds like a bass note while he walks around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's always someone you don't expect.
Yep. Sorry, Mom and Dad.
Sorry, Mom. She'll probably listen to this. Sorry.
Oh, no, I have a loving and supportive mother.
Yeah,
they'll hear me talk
you.
About all these boners.
Your parents listen to this, too.
They do. But they might not listen to this one. They won't listen to all of them. They're like, you just keep putting them out. I'm like, yeah, it's weekly.
I'm really sorry that I keep talking. I talk about boners all the time. Sorry, audience.
Oh,
I can't help it. I can't go through
we
a day.
Hate boners. They're so gross. Get them away from me. Pap. That's me slapping away the ding-dongs. Pap. Get out of here.
They'll slap you right back.
It's the snack that smacks back.
My girlfriend and I were having tea last night, and she
that's so innocent.
I know, it was, and we were talking about, because she went through, like, a breakup, and she's like, how do I ask people for their doctor's notes?
Oh, to make sure they don't have STIs.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you just ask.
Yeah.
You just ask.
When was the last time you got tested?
Yeah, I was like, you just ask, mm-hmm. And she's like, I just don't know what I'm going
to
do.
They probably won't be able to provide a
That's
a
what
form.
I told her.
They
I
don't
was like,
generally
it's not
give
usually
you those.
A form. You have to have a certain level of trust.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, everything's risky. Be as safe as you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we totally invent, like, a spray thing that you can just, like, spray on someone's junk and it's like,
glows
no
in the dark. It, like, glows in the dark.
Like, oh, I meant, like, it was going to be, like it would just stop anything from getting out of there.
Oh, okay. I was thinking,
like,
you spray it on and it would be,
like... lets you feel whatever, but you won't get pregnant, you won't get the disease. I'm like, I gotta get it to the lab.
I was listening to...
the laboratory.
I was listening to a podcast, and they actually did a live...
sex show?
No, they did a live HIV test.
Oh, yeah.
Which was really, really cool to show
Wouldn't
how easy
it fucking
is.
Sucked if that person had HIV?
That's what she said. She's like, I would get so many listeners, but this would be awful.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But it was actually, like, a really cool thing to show, like, hey, it's really simple. You can get home tests on the internet, like, on Amazon, some a lot of places you can get free, and I was like, wow, I like really respect that you're doing this on
Seriously,
air,
yeah.
And like
how vulnerable, yeah,
you're putting. Yeah, I was like, good job for your art.
Yeah,
right on.
At the research study that I worked on, we would do like point of contact HIV testing for everybody that would come back every
six
months, and or just like anyone that walked in basically that wanted it. We were just like, yeah, sure, like it's very easy to do.
Yeah,
but apparently, like it's as a screening tool, sometimes you can get false positives.
I've heard
which
that.
Is
yeah.
Not the most
so you get the freak out before, and then you go in, and it's like,
yeah,
you know. But yeah, it's I mean, like, it's progress.
Yeah,
so,
it was a big deal. Like a lot of us, like when we started doing the POC tests, that I just lost my train of thought completely. We like all of our staff members got tested, and it was really funny. Or it was just like, I got nervous. I like went in.
I
like,
think
to
you
the,
can't help
like
it.
The nurse, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure, like I'm a pretty safe person,
yeah.
All of that kind of stuff. But what
it's
if
it's a non? It's always a non-zero chance if you're not a virgin.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so then it's like we all did that as like a team building exercise at work, and it was like, oh, cool, okay.
That's why it's exciting, to the cat cafe, mind you, but...
I did that for a team building exercise.
So did my wife. Just yesterday, she sent me a message, like, guess where I am?
We did that for a team building. We went to a cafe.
Well, it makes a lot of sense for... Oh, wait, is that for your cat?
No. Oh, that was for my office, because my boss actually, like, loves cats and brings her cat into the office sometimes.
Doesn't seem like a good animal to bring into an office.
He's, like, super chill. She, like, travels with him.
What does he shit in?
We have, like, a box for him with litter in it. That's like
a litter box, you might say?
Yeah, like that, similar. But more cardboard. Like, it's really just like a bag and a cardboard box that she throws some litter in. And
he
like
knows what
but
to do.
But during my he was there during my 6 month review and took a shit during
Wouldn't you be so horrible to get fired while a cat was shitting next to you? Like, wow, this is the greatest indignity I have ever suffered.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Thank you, especially, Felix.
Yeah, I was like, wow, okay, this is something. She's like, I'm really sorry. I have to pause this so that I can clean up his poo. It's just really smelly. I'm like, okay.
Cool. So I'm doing good, right?
Like, so I get those benefits
So I didn't shit in front of you, so you really like me, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll get those benefits. Yeah,
I get those sweet, sweet bennies. Do I get them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Do you want to take a little break?
Yeah.
I got a pee. Okay, let's do it.
We'll be back.
And we're back.
Hi.
Hello. I don't know why I made that so musical, but I did.
Well, it's nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You've got the voice of an angel.
A really shitty angel.
One of those reject angels.
One of those, like, piece of shit angels. Oh, man. Now it's getting warm again.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. It's fine. Well, I'll survive.
We've got water. We can make another swamp cooler with some ice if we wanted to.
No, it's not nearly as hot as it has been. So it's just, we had a really nice bit of respite last week when we had Kyle on. It was like... maybe 24 degrees maximum in here. Like, ooh,
it's like,
practically
chilly.
Icy.
Yeah. Put on the sweaters.
Poor Fatima got the worst of it, I think.
It was so hot.
Just it sounds like someone is masturbating in the background through the whole thing, so we're, like, using paper fans.
Oh,
and it's
no!
Like, flap, 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 flap.
You would think that.
Just very flattering.
Only me.
Only
I am
you.
The only person who would think that. Madison might think it.
I might.
She might be like, that sounds like there's a lot of boners getting worked over there.
Can I come over?
What if?
Like, how many boners are we talking here?
How many boners are there? Three? Don't know if it's... I don't get out of bed for less than five boners.
Yes. I don't turn off Great British Bake Off for less than five boners.
What if that was our podcast gimmick? There's just a man masturbating in the background of every podcast.
That's a bad gimmick, Chris.
You don't talk about it. You just hear, like, fap, fap, fap.
We don't even... But at one point, he'll have an orgasm.
You don't know. And so you have to listen to the whole thing because you never know when it's going to happen.
Well, that's what on Kevin Allison on Risk... does he starts off his podcast or ends it sometimes with just the sound of him coming.
What?
You didn't know this?
No.
I've only listened to a couple episodes.
Yeah. He, like, will record himself.
He's a huge exhibitionist.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard him talk about having sex a bunch.
He was just, like, so you'll be listening to it, and it'll end with, like, you know, some nice music, and then you'll just hear, like, like, him coming. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've definitely heard a few stories on Risk, one of a woman who, like, took a guy home and then shit all over him while they were trying to have sex.
Ooh. No thanks.
Awkward. Pass.
Awkward is a word for it, yeah. I'm like, oh, this is awkward. Yeah, it's really awkward. This is like a weird conversation at a bank. You shit on me.
That's something you'll never forget.
Never.
Nobody forgets their first time getting shit on.
Oh my god. I don't think another person has ever shit on me, not even a baby, thank god.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Knock wood.
Yeah, I'm like, where's the... this is all very metal in here.
There you go. Now you're safe.
Found it. We're good.
Now you're safe. No.
And now if only there was more boners, and then I could knock on wood.
Knock on many different types of wood. This one's more like a teak, it feels like.
I just pictured it because, like, my partner builds guitars, and so there's tone wood. Like, you tap it, and it makes, like, nice notes and stuff. And I was just thinking of someone, like, going up to all the different boners, like, bing, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, like, a goddamn marim boner. It's like a nice calypso boner beat.
Marim boner. Fuck you.
Fuck me.
I love you so much. You and your portmanteaus.
All of them.
Yeah. love it.
I'm still eating these goddamn cookies.
They're so good. I'm glad. I wish I had brought more now. I had... Oh, there's still a few. Okay. I'm saving some for my... I'm going out with one of my friends who is also a Vocra volunteer, and so obviously I'm bringing her cat cookies. Obviously. Like, I just... Like, I really
God,
do.
Madison, this is so inconsiderate. I see cats all the time. Why would you think I'd want to see more cats?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Like, I told my partner, I'm like, do I hate cats now? And he's like, no, you don't. I'm like, right, I hate the people. And he's like, yeah, you hate the people. I'm like, right, okay.
It's the people you hate.
It's the people. It's the children who are wrong.
No. Superintendent Chalmers.
Oh my god.
Brilliant.
So you do you want to talk about like teenage?
Oh, sure. I have like
I'm
a
curious.
Okay,
I don't know anything about you.
I know you were like teasing it like, "Oh, I could talk about my really strange childhood."
I would love
I was, like,
I, see, I want to talk about your PhD idea, but that's not for
we
the
can't,
podcast. You
guys.
Can't. No, but I just still really want to talk about it.
Well, no,
point,
we'll
but.
Totally talk about it. Yeah, it's academics
secret
are
secret PhD.
I had a sessional instructor steal my lecture once. And I've had, friends who have had, like, their work stolen before, so I thought it wasn't a real thing.
Oh, it's totally
and
real
it's,
thing.
Like, a real thing.
What,
and so
what garbage, that's awful.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
real in every, like, anything that requires any kind of creative thought.
Yeah,
like,
it's very
somebody
real.
Else will
yeah.
pilfer your idea if they, if,
well, I mean,
they,
that's
they
famous
won't.
In comedy, like, the it stealing will. Of jokes is famous.
Stealing of jokes or stealing of, like, ideas about how
exactly,
to have a
yeah.
show or whatever, and it's
yeah.
it's often, like, not intentional. But sometimes they'll pick it up and then, like, it'll ruminate in the back of their mind and then they'll be like, this is my idea now.
And you're like, no, no.
Because I've caught myself doing that.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, like, you always have to check in with, like, I always try to be like, hey, I remember you talking about this. Can we... But I'm like, I have so much anxiety that I just overthink
no, no,
everything.
Totally
so I'm
legit.
Always afraid of hurting someone else, too.
It
and,
must
like, stealing
be hard
their
with
ideas.
PhD stuff. We were talking with Kyle on a couple episodes ago mm-hmm. how, like... It's just, like, they expect you to, like, fill this gap. Like, you have to put your own creative,
exactly,
unique
yeah,
knowledge
yeah, yeah.
into this thing. Like, you can't... You know, I did a lit review for my master's, and that was so relieving because I didn't have to, like, reinvent the wheel.
See, I hated my lit review. Mm-hmm. I was the exact opposite. So I'm just like, ugh, I have to read all this crap and try to, like, piece it together. It was like a quilt. Like, that's mm-hmm. what it felt like, where I'm just like, can I just
I hate
make...
textiles.
I know. It's like, I hate this.
Yeah, can I just make my own... unique thing.
Exactly. But okay, I'll talk about the weird child weird teenagehood. So
great.
It was pretty okay. So it's like sad weird but like funny. Like I think it's funny now.
Okay, is this going to be really tragic or
like kind of actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
we'll go back to talking about boners after.
Yeah,
break,
I'm totally fine with that. So like essentially
there are any tragic boners
essentially
in this
story, my teenagehood started off with having death threats against me at 13. Mm. I'm not even, yeah, so I had a boy who liked me, and we were in a grade 6-7, it's always the boys, the quiet boys who like you, who everyone says, you don't need to worry about them, and it's like, no!
No, you do, they're like the, what's the really bad guy from Game of Thrones, the mean one who cut off the guy's
Ramsay
guy?
Bolton?
That's the one,
yeah,
like a Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah, except he wasn't as hot as Ramsay Bolton, but that's fine.
I
love you and Rian.
Good.
Okay,
yeah,
anyway, that's
I
fine.
I understand. He always plays a creep, and he's always hot anyway.
I know, and I'm just like, I feel really uncomfortable. Like,
But so, this was, like, not cute.
No, this was not cute. So, he had a crush on me in grades. I was in grade 7, he was in grade 8. And, I was like, ew, no, boys. But, like,
I don't like boners yet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Wait 2 years. And then, anyway, yeah, so then, like, he was, like, really upset that I didn't like him. Because, you know, God forbid a man doesn't get what he wants. And so the next year, he, on the anniversary, 1 year anniversary of September 11th, we later found out he was planning to stab me with
oh,
a pair
God.
Of scissors.
Huh.
So he was very obsessed with, like, dates of things.
Okay.
And then, but I wasn't there that day, because I was like, Mom, my birthday is, tomorrow, can we have, like, a mother-daughter, because we have the same birthday? And she's like, yeah, 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 I'll take you to school. And then the next week he threw a bottle of red dye and vinegar on my face.
Oh my God.
And said it was him mimicking like throwing acid.
Yeah.
Yeah. On unfaithful women or whatever. So anyway, it like
fucking
all came out.
Shit.
It all came out with like this police investigation and it started being like, oh my God. So like, he's was planning to kill your daughter, essentially, is, like, what they told my parents. So my parents were like, we gotta get the fuck out of the city. Like, she's not gonna feel safe. Like, my anxiety was really bad. So we moved an hour and a half to Peterborough, but I lied and told all my friends I was moving to BC. So none of my friends knew where I was.
Wow, so you just totally disconnected.
Yeah.
Witness protection yourself.
Yeah, like, pretty much. Because my parents were like, like, we don't... Like, I mean, it was, like, half legit and, like, half, like, she's not gonna feel safe in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, and so then, like, finally I went to this arts high school. It was this really cool arts high school, and I was, like, a total theater nerd. I was a Second City kid. I did commercials. Like, I was, like, all in there.
Nice.
And then a year and, like, a month after that whole thing, my dad got hit by a car and got severe brain injury.
Jesus Christ.
And actually had part of his brain removed.
Wow.
Wow.
And they gave him a 98% chance of dying and a 2% chance of, like, never walking, never talking, never anything again. So we drove to the hospital, and, like, for anyone who's ever been in a hospital with, like, a super, super sick relative,
mm-hmm.
you start to get hospital brain.
Yeah.
Where you just kind of go wacky.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, me and my family, well, me and, like, the women in my family in particular are all like, well, we need to get shit done now. So it's like, we, you know, you're sitting in this hospital and you're like, oh, what can we do? So we started, like, putting together essentially, like, welcome baskets for the new people and, like, the critical care unit. We're like, here's some magazines and chocolate and, like, put, like, welcome.
We've been here for weeks.
Yeah. So we would, like, end up, like, welcoming people essentially. And then, like, but there was this really weird breaking point. Like, it was the day before we realized my dad was going to live. And, so, I was 14, my brother was 21, my sister was 23, and my mom was like, I have no underwear. Can you please go get me underwear? So, my brother-in-law, my brother and I went to, like, Walmart or something, and we picked out underwear, and we're, like, tired. We've been sleeping on chairs for, like, 3 or 4 nights. We're exhausted.
Right.
And so we come back and give my mom the underwear. She goes to put it on, and she comes out, and she goes, how big do you think I am? So we had accidentally got her 4XL underwear that were, like, pink and, like, granny panties. And my mom's like, I get it! I've gained some weight!
Aww.
But, like, we started laughing. And my brother is, like, this 6'4" guy built like a football player. So he starts strutting around in these panties.
You put them on over his pants or just,
yeah,
like,
over these pants. And there's, like, people praying. There's, like, people mourning.
My Nona's about to die.
Yeah, and then my brother's like,
doo-doo-doo. I'm the prettiest girl at the mall.
Yeah. And he's, like, this giant bear of a man, like, strutting around. So anyway.
We're in these pink ginch.
The next day we realized, like, my dad was going to live, but he had no memory of, like, anything, really. So, like, his memory was essentially, like, wiped,
yeah.
pretty much. So he's still piecing together memories of stuff. He, like, lives on his own now, and he's, like, pretty functional. He bikes every day. He walks every day. He goes to the gym all the time. He writes poetry. He thinks he's psychic, which is weird, but that's besides the point.
Maybe he is. We don't know. Yeah.
I'm just, like, I'm usually just, like, well, I mean, you've been closer to death than me, so who the fuck knows?
You might have some insight.
But anyway, so, yeah, when you're starting high school and you have all these hormones and then you have a disabled father.
And
someone tried to kill you. You just have a really weird time of it.
Yeah.
And, like, I somehow, like, attracted, like, you know, I just attracted all the suicidal teens to, like, my doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
And
boys,
so I was, like,
I assume, or of all
boys
types.
And girls, but usually, oh, lots of boys. Lots of boys are like, I'm gonna kill myself.
A lot of infatuated.
And I'm just like, okay. Yeah.
I do like this.
You were like de facto counselor.
Yeah, yeah. So, but like, I was like, oh, I don't have to concentrate on my own problems. Great.
Yeah. I'll just fix everybody else.
Exactly. And then, like, eventually you turn 20 and realize that the past, like, 6 years of your life, you've only been fixing other people, and then you can't leave the house. You know, like, it just happens.
I don't know what this means, like, at all.
Yeah. So, but, like, our house had labels all over it. So, like, door said door. And, like, it's just, you
put
know.
Put food in me.
Yeah, pretty, or, like, on my dad, yeah. Like,
he takes it off, puts it on there.
But they had to remove part of his skull, so part of his skull was actually concave for a while.
So you could, like, poke him in the brain?
Yeah, you could see his brain move. So it was, like,
who are you thinking pretty hard there, Dad?
Yeah, but, like, well, I always remember, because I'm just, like, you're, it's like, 14-year-olds shouldn't have to see their dad shit.
Among all the things they shouldn't have to do, that's definitely
one. Although, like, my dad's a very sweet man and whatever. And like,
if you had to see someone shit, might
yeah, like, my dad's very sweet. But, like, yeah, it was eccentric. And then I remember when I got, I had my first boyfriend at 15, and he came over, and I was like, oh, nervous, like, whatever. And he's, like, the quiet, tall bassist, like, who wears, like, Nirvana t-shirts and... He has, like, a haircut where you can't see his eyes. And,
totally.
And just, like, we barely talk, but we make out, and, like, he plays me guitar.
Sounds like Jason Riley or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Matt. We're still good friends.
You win.
And anyway, so I remember he came over, and my dad, like, stumbled over, and my dad's, like, this short little Italian man, and he goes, do you have a dead uncle? And Matt's, like, no.
It's like, you're gonna.
And he's like, do you have a dead aunt? And he's like, no. He's like, do you have a dead grandpa? And he's like, yes. He's like, he wants you to know he's okay. And I was like, fuck. I'm 15. I was like, no.
Thank you, sir. Can I still touch your daughter's boob?
Yeah, it's like, oh my god. So anyway, yeah. And like, it was just one of those things where like, I was like it's an eccentric, like, I was obviously, like, an eccentric theater kid, because what else was I supposed to be?
Yeah.
How could you be anything else?
Yeah, like, it was just going to happen. but yeah, so when I was, like, late 15, my dad ended up going to, like, a home, and then, like, there was this whole thing with, like, my mom and this guy and whatever, and I ended up living with my sister for 6 months and, like, whatever. So, yeah, it's just one of the, but, like, nobody really considered what was going on with me because they were so wrapped up in their teenage problems. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, no one ever, like, asked, like, hey, how are you? They were like, oh, this boy doesn't like me. And I remember, it was really funny because I read my high school journals, which I actually messaged my high school boyfriend, and I was like, I liked you so much, just FYI.
Aww,
like, it was very
so
sweet. and we were actually talking about the other day about, like, how much your first relationship shapes who you end up dating. Like, he's like, you're always gonna date kind of sad, like, musicians. And I was like, oh, yeah? Well, you're gonna always date short, busty Italian girls. So, fuck off.
Pretty good.
I was like, congratulations and you're welcome.
I set you up for success, man.
Yeah, exactly. You set me up for mopiness. But yeah, I was reading my journals, and I was like, this is, like, I had legit crazy shit going on in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, absurd soap opera levels of craziness here. Like, Grey's Anatomy style.
Like, literally amnesia was involved.
Yeah, like, literally amnesia was involved. And all I wrote about was boys. That's it.
Just boys.
My biggest problems in my journal were, does this boy like me? No, he's gay. Like,
theater kid.
I was a theater kid.
Yeah, I was definitely, the first time I went to college, when I went to Kwantlen, I was I had a huge crush on this guy that was, like, so obviously gay. And, like, he's, you know, Ian. You don't know Ian. I thought you would know Ian. He's like a city planner type dude, and he and his boyfriend have been together for 11 years, so like,
aww,
2 years less than when I first met him, and was like, cute. I was like, oh, so gay. So gay.
Oh, I had this, there's this one guy, he was a trumpet player, and he was just like this.
Oh, was he in a ska band?
Funk.
Close enough.
Funk band. He dressed terribly, but him, me, and this other guy would hang out all the time because I had, like, this attic bedroom with, like, you know, like, Chili Pepper lights and lots of fabric on the ceiling and sorry fabric and, like,
you're just looking around.
A lot of incense.
Do you feel called out right now, Chris? Our studio is beautiful.
It is. I'm actually,
I'm sure
that, like, I'm
beautiful as well.
It was. But yeah, and anyway, with all three of us would hang out all the time, but I had, like, this huge crush on the trumpet player. And I remember, like, everyone thought he liked me because he was, like, he was very sweet to me, and we were really good friends, and we were both single, and I was like, And he was totally not my type, but I was just so smitten with him because he was such a sweetie. And then we held hands one night, But looking back, and I was like, we held hands while watching Brokeback Mountain.
Aww.
So he was super gay.
He was super gay.
Extremely gay.
Super gay. When he came up to me, I was like, I feel so much better about myself. I was like, I thought you just didn't like me, but you're gay, so that's great.
So it's fine.
That's great. Well, my partner's 16-year-old cousin, who is, like, obsessed with me, is, it's very sweet. We talk, like, every day.
Okay.
She Aww. Bought me, like, a lipstick that she named after, like, a joke in Gilmore Girls. She, like, she's very, very sweet. She's
oh
a
my
total
God, that's
sweetie.
Really
yeah,
sweet.
She's amazing. She'll probably listen to this. Sorry, me about the boners.
I'm just saying you're obsessed with me.
No, she'll know. We talk about it. But yeah, so she's theater kid. And I'm just like, she's like, every crush she has, I'm like, so what are the odds he's gay? She's like, very good.
Very, very high.
Very high.
Yeah.
And she's like, but I love it because they sing musical theater show tunes with me. And I was like, Mia, keep liking gay boys.
You'll I was be like, protected for a long
I was
time.
Like, I was like, do you know what? They're great boys to have a crush on. Great boys to have a crush on.
Non-threatening boys magazine.
Yeah, exactly. That is, yeah, exactly. That's my, that I was like, I would subscribe to Non-Threatening Boys magazine. I would call the Corey hotline.
Here are some words that rhyme with Corey. Story. Tory. Allegory.
Yeah, that's like exactly my type. I mean, Lisa Simpson was my hero growing up, so.
Why were boys so fascinating? Like, even not as a straight person.
Yeah.
I was just like upset because it was like you're allowed to be obsessed with boys when you were young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like that's what you're expected to do, so you just throw yourself into it with total
abandon. I remember I was so in love with Devon Sawa.
I was only in love with boys who look like girls, like JTT and Leonardo DiCaprio.
I guess so,
and
yeah.
They all had like foppish hair and these full lips and blue eyes.
Yeah. But like I remember like
boobs. Wait, what?
Oh, wait.
Like, that movie Casper, and then at the end he turns into a real boy, and it's Devon Sawa just at the very end, and he's so cute.
You're like, I'll turn you into a real man.
I cried so hard at that movie.
Did I tell you my, like, phone harassing Devon Sawa
Yes,
story?
You did.
What?
Yes, you did. You haven't talked about it on the podcast, though.
Because I had an attic, like, awesome attic hangout spot in my house, too, and I brought a phone up there, finally, and we would make phone calls to Devon Sawa.
What?
Because he lived in Vancouver.
Oh, my God.
And so we got a Vancouver phone book, and it's, like, long-distance phone calls, too. I don't know, like, why I didn't get in trouble for this. But in the phone book, they had the dad's name was Ed, so it was Ed Sawa in the phone book. And then there was a sub thing, and it said teen phone or teen line or something with a phone number. And you'd call, and it was like, hey, it's Devon. But, and it's like, was that a decoy? Because people were calling their house.
And then you're like, I love you!
We would leave messages.
Oh my God.
We would leave messages on the phone like, Devon, I can't believe you didn't call me back. You said we were going to meet, blah, blah, blah. Like,
and you thought you were so smart.
So smart. Like, oh, it'd be so funny. He won't even know what to do.
He'll actually want to date me.
I know. Like, what did we think was the end game? I don't understand. I don't understand teen girls.
It was
like,
so the thing to be like, well, you know, my uncle's cousin's brother's dog knows Devon Sawa.
No, but that's the thing is that people still do that. But the people who do that are 40-year-old male golfers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're the people who still do the, I know someone who knows someone who knows someone.
I don't
who
know
knows...
anyone famous.
Well, when I was, like, really, really little, I was, like, 4 or 5 years old, there was someone who lived with us named Nathaniel, and he was on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay.
And so he, like, roomed with us because, like, his parents didn't, I don't remember the circumstance exactly.
Right.
But, like, he was my first ever crush. I was, like, in love with him. And, like, in love with him.
Was he the guy that wore the glasses on that show, or?
No, I don't remember. He also had, like, you know, side hair.
Okay.
Like,
I'm
he had floppy hair. I don't even remember his last name. Nathaniel something.
Well, IMDb may
But
yield
I
something
I had
here.
The biggest crush on him, and we would play. It was like he was my first real life crush. I think my first fiction crush was Alan Alda in MASH. And like
Nathaniel Moreau.
Yeah, I think that's him. Yeah, see, that's definitely
he's
him.
Got the
that's
perfect,
him.
He's got
that's
the perfect
him.
Haircut.
Yeah, he's
oh,
got
yeah,
the
that,
he's
that
got
90s
the Dawson
boy haircut.
The Dawson haircut.
Oh, he's
yeah,
only
that
37.
Was
that's not that old.
Yeah, yeah. But like at the time, I was like 4 and he was 14, 15, 16, something like that. So anyway,
he's fully just a 90s actor. That's funny. He doesn't do anything else.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So funny.
But yeah, so I had this big crush on him and we would play children's Monopoly together and I would be like and I was like listen, this could get pretty complicated, so I'll dumb down the rules for you.
You little shit.
Let me simplify this for you, Nathaniel.
Which actually really, like, sums up how I treat men on a day-to-day.
Who is, like, 12 years older than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly. But then we had to kick him out because he was hiding ecstasy and porn in the ceiling.
That's a perfect place for it.
In the ceiling panel?
Yeah.
That's so classic.
Exactly.
Did I tell you that the last time we went to Saskatchewan, I found out that Tessa, my wife, had hidden a phone in the ceiling tiles of her basement apartment, or basement suite, or that she lived in with her brother. It was, like, divided up for the two of them.
So, and like, then, a burner and then, phone? Yeah,
no. This was, like,
landline style.
Okay, she's a super mega nerd.
Okay.
And has been for a really, really long time, and, like, had, a huge crush on this girl in high school.
Aww.
And so would, like, had, like, this phone plugged in, like, separated from the main phone line so that, like, when nobody was awake, she could just, like, pull it out of the phone tile and be like, boop, 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 like, hey, Marlene, or whatever her name was.
Oh, that's so cute.
She was like, yeah, it didn't go anywhere, and I was creepy, but I had good intentions. That's super funny.
Very good intentions. There's always those people that you're just, like, you're so smitten with for so long for whatever reason. Then you kind of look back and you're like,
Oh God. Yeah. Junior high, I was so into a guy named Matt also, who would always wear a Canucks jersey. So I got a Canucks jersey.
Oh my God. When you think that dressing like the boy will make them like you, that's why I wore backwards baseball caps during musical theater camp.
I thought it
to impress Max.
See, I thought that would work super well because, like, one of my best friends at the time, Bex, was a super tomboy and always had guys, like, falling all over themselves. And I'm like, oh, maybe I could do this too. It turns out, no.
You're like, this was not
working. It was not organic, so it didn't work. And also, like, when I look the guy up now, I was like, oh, he was not attractive. And
yeah.
I was obsessive. It was just so sad.
Yeah, no, but it's kind of fun with, like, when you stay friends with them. Like, there's this one guy that I'm, like, still really good friends with, but we both had this, like, we were, like, mildly into each other for, like, 5 years.
It's not so good if you're, like, really invested in somebody.
Yeah. No, no, this was more like we both had partners, we both whatever, but we would, like, come back and flirt with each other and then, like, move away and blah, 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 and then come back and flirt with each other. And then we would just, recently, like, about a year ago, we were just like, remember that? Good times. Let's never do that again.
Let's never do that again. Oh, God, I found him on Facebook, this guy that I liked. He's not attractive.
No, he's really not.
He's really not. Ooh,
no.
That face.
He looks mean.
Yeah, he looks like a...
He's got a gross little face.
Well, like, not to whatever, but, like, someone's personality can shine through sometimes, and he looks like a mean person.
He didn't have a personality.
He wasn't mean, he just didn't have a personality. He's just a real vanilla wafer.
I liked a guy for, like, all of high school who was, like, super tall, super skinny, wore mascara and a top hat. And was in a metal band.
Oh, I had a guy like that.
And
that's
actually
the only kind of person that I've ever dated.
And I'm actually, like, pretty... Like, I look back on that, I'm like, good work. Like, I was like, he was nice.
Was he Mystery, the pickup artist?
Oh, no, thankfully not. Although, my friend did have a pickup artist try to pick her up. Like, one who, like, teaches classes.
Like, the one down on Robson Street?
No, it was in Toronto, because I'm from Ontario. It was in Toronto. He was called Dimitri the Lover.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually quite famous.
He
and oh, no, he's the scum of the earth.
Oh, yeah. As all
pickup artists are. Like, uniformly awful people.
Pickup artists and garbage men should change their names.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't make that up, but I love that.
Yeah, no,
trade names.
That's delightful.
It
and
is.
I have way more respect for garbage men.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
I'm like, you do an excellent service for the world.
Yes.
Pickup artists.
Just try to put stuff into you that you don't want them to put into you.
Yeah. And,
whether
and
it's
garbage
shitty compliments or they're horrible penises.
And garbage men take away things you don't want.
I wish they
would take away pickup artists.
Garbage, sir, Mr. Senior Garbage Man, sir.
He was in an elevator and, like, he gave her, like, his card. And so we, like, and, like, it had, like, an animated picture, like, an illustration of him, like, with greasy hair and, like, an unbuttoned shirt with, like, chest hair popping out. And then there was all these, like, awful illustrations of him, like, fucking women, like,
ew,
animations on the website.
Oh.
And then, like, a list because he teaches classes.
Ugh.
He teaches classes
That's
on how to, on
with?
How to dominate women.
Huh.
And I'm just like, you know, it's just, I've heard so many, and it's really interesting when you go to pickup artist websites, actually, because it's very militaristic language. Like, it's all conquering, and it's all colonizing, and it's all...
You focus on the target.
Yeah, exactly.
Target acquired.
Yeah.
Take her out.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I remember when I was dating...
Isolator.
I was dating this nice guy, and then we were going to bed, and he picked up the game, and I picked up, like, Koje von Hegel, and I was like, this must end.
This is not going to work.
This must end. And I'm like, why the hell are you reading that? And he's like, it's funny. I'm like, no!
No! It's not funny.
No, it's not funny at all. It's evil. Like, that spreads hate to the world.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah. I just, like, I just wish people weren't terrible.
That's too much to ask, Chris.
I know. Yeah. It's just, like, why can we not just be, like, authentic with each other and, like, people will still date. Like, chemistry is a real thing.
It is, yeah.
Like, you don't need tricks and stuff like that. Like, I was out last night at the accordion festival after party and there was this really, really, really,
that's so cute.
Really, really cute dude. And, like, I am seeing someone, but it's fun to flirt, and it's just, like, he smelled amazing, and then we just, like, flirted, and it's, like, that can organically happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's, like, you don't need tricks and stuff, and it will be way more fun for everybody involved if it just kind of happens naturally.
Well, that goes back to the small talk thing. Mm. It's, like, it really does. It's, like, when I want to get to know someone, I don't want to talk about, like... you know, what their sign is or something. Like, I don't want to talk about traffic. I don't want to talk about the weather. Like, I don't want to talk about that shit. And, like, I don't want, like, pickup lines. It's, like, the...
You should not ever move to L.A., then.
No. I feel like L.A. is just, like...
All you can talk about is the weather and the traffic there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's very...
Or, like, Uber surge pricing. Those are the three things you're allowed to talk about.
Uber terrifies me. Uber is so scary. Like, I went to Seattle, and my friend Holly and I were like, we're gonna get murdered. This is what's gonna happen.
I took a lift in Seattle, and it was okay. It was fine. I also walked home from the club by myself, like, through 4 miles of dark streets. Yeah. So, I clearly don't fear death.
Well, I was saying that, like, because last night, like, I got a little too drunk at the Wise Hall, and it's not that far to walk home. But I definitely, like, walked home by myself at 3 a.m., like, visibly intoxicated. It's like, that's stupid.
Visibly intoxicated and visibly a woman.
Yeah.
So.
Like, it was really dumb. Like, I am fucking lucky. It was,
but it's
when
so...
I thought about it, I was like, that was, could have been scary, but I wasn't.
Well, this is actually, you two are the host, but I have, like, an actually question that I try to.
Please. Yeah.
Okay. So I always try to work through this as someone who was a teacher's assistant. I was a teacher's assistant while the UBC sexual predators were sexual predatoring. But there's always sexual predators on university campuses, so I'm like,
this
okay.
Is the history grad department or whatever?
No, this was the guy who was, like, grabbing women in the dark and they couldn't find him.
Oh, yeah.
So I was...
But
I
have to, like, narrow down the sex assault.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like there's always a predator.
God.
And SFU likes to pretend they don't have sexual predators. I'm like, no, it's just quieter. Yeah. So SFU, I was at SFU, and it was during that time, and most of my students were female. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is we talked about a lot of topics that were, like, quite traumatic and really intense and about colonialism and sexual assaults and trauma and torture. And, like, it was a really intense class. And it ended at 9:30 at night. And so I had this, like, really intense feeling because, like, I wanted them to walk in, but I would tell them, you know, please walk in buddies, please, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But there's always this really... shitty thing that I think, like, in particular, like, when women are giving advice to other women, there's always this level of, like, listen, you shouldn't have to do this, but you have to do this.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you feel like by telling them they have to do something, that you're being like, but it's your fault if something, you know what I mean? So it's this really weird thing that I face all the time, but I'm like, as a woman, I'm literally just like, yeah, I could get murdered any day. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's, which I couldn't even imagine. Like, I'm like a lower middle class, like, white woman. Like, sure. So, like, I'm, you know, pretty high up on the food chain. Like, I'm less likely to get murdered. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like you're always walking around being like, I could get killed. Like, I could get killed. So, like, you come home and you're like, I could have gotten killed.
Yeah.
Like, I could have gotten killed. So it's this really weird dynamic, and I'm always trying to figure out how to protect the women around me, but at the same, and myself, but at the same time instill in them that the world shouldn't be like this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really hard balancing act that I have a really difficult time communicating that.
I think just making your ambivalence about that
very
transparent.
Yeah, I think you put it really well.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay,
it's
cool.
Just telling people, like, hey, I don't want to tell you to do this, but, like, I care about you, and you have some ability to minimize your risk.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
but nothing that happens to you regardless is your fault.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but, yeah.
And it's self-interest, acting in self-interest to protect yourself, but also like, yeah, if you'd gotten hurt walking home, that wouldn't be your fault.
Yeah. But it's like, all those tips where it's like, oh, we should, you know, teach men to, like, you know, if instead of those preventative tips for women,
exactly,
like,
yeah,
we should say to men, like, hey, if you, like, are up to somebody, like, at a bar, don't put something in their drink. Like, use a buddy system if you can't not rape somebody. Like, take a buddy
which
with
I
you.
Always, I
someone
I
use that, a whistle if you are about to rape.
Yeah, like, so I love that, but then it's at the same time, it's like, well, the actual world that we do live in physically in our meat sack bodies, like,
is a fucking scary
there's
place.
There's danger still, so we still have to.
I try to
protect ourselves, but
so much safer now where I am in my life, just based on the fact that I am huge. Like, I'm a big woman and I look a little scary.
I'm so jealous. It
sucks in terms of like when you think about beauty standards and what women are valued for being, they're all things that I'm not. So, apart from the fact they got a big, juicy booty, but everything else is kind of
like...
Yeah,
a couple other things
there. It's kind of like only going to be a niche appeal type thing, which is, again, fine for me because I feel safe, pretty safe moving through the world. And also, like, I've done, like, this big campaign about...
Yeah, yeah.
About harassment and sexual assault on transit.
Totally.
So now I'm like, oh, I know exactly who to talk to if something happens. So, like, I have the knowledge, I have, like, I know how to escalate a situation effectively, and I also just am physically intimidating to a lot of men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is great, because I'm 5'9", which is the average height of men in North America, but probably even a little taller than average in Vancouver,
just given
the populace that we have here.
Totally.
So, like, I find when I stand up on SkyTrain, like, after I've been sitting down, I'll stand up, and then immediately, like, everybody comes below my eye level,
and
they all kind of just move back.
And you're like, I'll fuck you up.
They're just like, oh, she's huge. Like, she's like a, you know, like a rhino of a person. Like, if I'm mad, I'll charge and scare people, which I would never do. I'm very tender.
You're such a sweetie. Yeah, yeah.
I'm such a sweetie. I'm never going to physically intimidate someone.
But you have the armor.
I have the, like, it makes, again, like a bass note when I stand up. It's like,
yeah.
And people are like, oh, no, I don't want to touch your boob now, which is great because I don't want them to.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
So people, like, generally, drunk men still are kind of like, oh, yeah, you look tough. I'm like, yeah.
Like, tall, aren't you?
Yes, Steve, I do. Fuck off. So it makes me going through life a lot to feel a lot safer now. But I used to feel really, really frightened, and people used to say stuff to me all the time when I looked more sort of, like, feminine, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I had an interesting couple of experiences, like, the first one, I guess, just, like, around performing gender in that way. Like, I dressed up to go perform again at this accordion festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, like, really went super femmy, like, kind of dressed, like, 1940s style a little bit.
For
and
sure.
Got, like, a lot more people came and tried to talk to me about stuff. And I got a lot more, hey, smile, whatever. And, like, you know, a lot of, like, women, like, giving me, like, big smiles and stuff, too. It's like, oh, you look pretty. It's like, that's nice. Like, it's all kind of comes with the territory, etc.
Totally.
But it's like, yeah, I was approached a lot more by men than when I just normally exist in the world.
Yeah.
If I'm, like, super, like, femming it up a little bit. And then, like, I also have this background of being, like, a mental health worker and was a security guard, more or less, for a long time. And I'm not physically strong, but I'm very firm and, like, can intimidate people quite significantly.
Oh, yeah.
And I, like, stand my ground. So I kind of give off, like, a don't fuck with me vibe a little bit. But I'm also very approachable.
No one's scared of me until I open my mouth. I'm, like, screwed. It was one thing that I, like, in university and in academia in particular, it's, like, nobody took me seriously until they heard me talk, which, once again, kind of goes back to, I actually call it the, Manic Pixie academic, where it's like boys fall in love with you because you'll be able to talk about Marx but won't know more about that than them.
I want an intelligent woman, but not, she can't be smarter than
and
me.
She has to worship me.
Yeah. I'm gonna just write a note because I want to say something very salty about something work related off mic.
Okay. So it's one of those things though where it's like and so I just started really intensely performing femininity because I was just like, I I actually told one of my professors very specifically about this. I actually got told by another female professor that I dress like I'm 12. And I was like, I just like bows and polka dots, okay? Fuck off.
Yeah, and like, you wear like nice eyeliner and yeah. cute hair and like cute outfits.
I dress like a birthday clown.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all have our style. And, but yeah.
Like another like academic professor is like, oh, you don't look professional.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
like,
so.
People won't take you seriously.
But when she said that, it just made me want to perform it even more. So, like, I like to do the surprise. So I walk into a classroom with my students, and they would look at me and look me up and down, and yeah, I look the same age as them, and I, you know, look really femmy and whatever. But then I speak, and then they end up taking me quite seriously. They know that I know what I'm talking about. I care about them, but I'm also pretty harsh on them, and I expect a lot. And so I started doing this more because in my own mind, like, obviously the way we dress, the way we perform ourselves is always going to be political. And so for me, I was just like, it was just my way of being like, femininity isn't in weakness, like, you know what I mean, like, and for me it was just like, yeah, I can wear polka dots every single fucking day if I want.
It's almost like camouflage because you're just sneaking it in,
and that's how I felt. And then I just started really enjoying it.
Beautiful Trojan horse.
Yeah, because like I had so many experiences of like someone would come up and introduce themselves to a group of academics that I was in, and it was all men and me, and they would ask all the guys what they studied and not me. So like that was like a super common thing.
I'm guessing, but you're a slave of one of these guys. Yeah. That's here. Like, I assume that you're their slave.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're like, you wash their feet? Like, is that what
your hair
do?
like they were the Jesus
yeah.
the Christ?
But then I would open my mouth and beat the shit out of them with my words. So it's like it became like really satisfying. So like
just
I
like the ghosts of boners would pour. Yeah. Out
so I turned like this really pretty awful experience of being undermined for my femininity into being like, okay, well, I'm just gonna enjoy this because I'm just like the Trojan horse here. And so it started being something that I like started playing up even more and more and more. I'm just like, let's just fucking do this. And I used to be like not at all like that, but now I'm just like,
fine,
do you know what, if this is what you want to think, then let's surprise you. I'm gonna talk about boners, and I'll know more about Marx than you, so suck it.
Yeah, it's almost like you're a multifaceted person.
Oh yeah,
almost like that.
Almost. No, I mean, like, not quite. I mean, they're not quite gonna think that.
I had the advantage of looking exactly like my degree, so like nobody was ever surprised to see me in gender sexuality and women's studies class doing like trans scholarship and looking at alternative masculinities. People were like, yeah, that's exactly what I would have guessed.
Yeah, yeah.
That you would do.
Well, it's very interesting. Like, my partner was in the same program, but he's doing his PhD right now, and we met there, and it was just the comparison of the way we were treated was just insane. Like, he walks in like a hoodie, and like, he's great at what he does, and he's so respectful and all that. So this is not at all an undermining of him.
But they've never even considered that his clothing could have any kind of...
No, so he walks in a hoodie and jeans and toque, and they're like, he's so chill.
He's just so smart, he doesn't have time to think about, like, how to dress.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, he goes in, he's a very low-energy person. So he goes in, he's really low-energy, and he talks very quietly and slowly and whatever. I'm like, if I did that, I would be crucified.
No matter what you do, you'd be crucified.
Yeah, no matter what, but I would be,
you
like...
You might as well just go in with your own cross, like, hey, guys, don't worry, I already got this.
Yeah, exactly, that's what
don't waste your time.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's so interesting, and all of his reviews would say... Dugan is the chillest guy, and all mine would be, Madison cares about our feelings. I was like, I mean, I do. Yeah. I really do.
I love typing up evaluations. That's my favorite part of my job.
Oh, no. It's because you know who sucks and who doesn't now?
Oh, I know exactly who sucks and who doesn't. And we're like, who should we hire? I'm like, oh, I know who you should hire.
Information
is
power.
I've got the sacred power.
That's why you should always have, that's why it's really important to have admin on hiring committees. It's super important to have admin on professor hiring committees. Because admin know everything. Like, I worked as a department assistant at the Globe and Mail. I knew fucking everything about everyone. And they thought I knew nothing. And I'm just like...
If you're, like, sweet, people just, like, tell you everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I gotta tell me everything face. And yeah. I don't want to hear all this stuff all the time, but God help me if it's not occasionally useful.
Yeah. I retain a lot of information. In my current job, like, it's political, and I know all of the stuff about lots of different inner workings of different things that totally. I can't talk about.
Yeah.
It's great. And then people are just, oh, she's just the assistant. She's just the secretary.
That's exactly what people think.
Like, I'm actually, like, in charge of this right now, or, like, I have to, like, reassure people. It's like, no, I'm the full-time staff, like, and it's like, well, you can't help me because blah, 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 and I'm just like, try me. I know a lot of stuff. I can get shit done.
Exactly. Like, I mean this, well, I was actually, like, I asked my boss to change my title from administrator to coordinator, mm-hmm. because when you have administrator, it's this, like, super feminized, yeah. people don't take mm-hmm. you seriously when you're administrator. Coordinator, they're like
you buy you order the stationery, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I do. But I also do other stuff. Okay. It's a very small office. Someone needs to order the tape.
Yeah,
that's what I do. Yeah. I order the tape.
And when you work for a nonprofit, it's like,
you order two rolls of tape. You can have two.
No more. You can't afford more.
It's a hard cap on the amount of tape you're allowed.
But yeah, so I was like, the coordinator people take seriously, administrator people don't take seriously.
That's very true.
And it's so interesting how even those slight changes in title.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
it's, depending on the circumstance, my boss will either introduce me as her constituency assistant mm-hmm. or her chief of staff. And because I am that.
Yeah.
And it's very funny to, like, when shit needs to get done and she's, like, redirecting people. It's like, no, like,
speak to my chief
this
of staff.
Is, yeah, this is my chief of staff, actually.
Yeah.
So, like, you won't talk to her like that. It's like, hee hee.
No, it's so important.
Work, mommy.
When you have,
so satisfying.
When you have a boss that protects you,
yeah.
there's something, like, my job isn't particularly exciting right now. It's a for now job. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, and I was like, I don't get paid a lot and whatever. But my boss sticks up for me. And the really mm-hmm. funny thing is I'll put someone on hold and I'll go, hey, Connie, this person's being a dick to me. And I was like, they want to talk to you, you know, the superior. And she's like, well, I'm just going to tell them exactly what you told them. But yeah, transfer them over. I'll make sure they never talk to you like that again.
Yeah.
I'm like, thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so it's like a really, it's almost like worth staying in a job now that you like barely get paid for. Just be like, thanks for being nice to me, because it takes off so much of that emotional labor that you put into
it. Yeah,
so stuff. Much that I'm relating to it, what you're saying right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
yeah. Definitely.
Because, I mean, like, the emotional labor that you put into working in an environment where, yeah, you might get paid a lot, mm-hmm. but they treat you like you're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a place where you walk in, no, you don't get paid a lot, no, your job isn't super interesting, but they're always going to ask you how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes so much of a difference. Mm-hmm.
It really does. It really does. I get frustrated with my job sometimes, but I have a great boss who, like, takes care of me, which it makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. It's, yeah, very hard to leave those things.
I do really like that we were all bringing up a lot of the same points of, like, not being taken seriously or, like, not being respected automatically like a lot of men can be. I like that our framing of this isn't so much like, oh, poor us, it's so hard. Like, it is hard, but we're just kind of like, if you fucking underestimate me, I'm going to use that to my advantage.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I will destroy you. Eventually.
And I will quietly and long game-wise destroy you.
Well, and that's...
And also just outlive you, because you're all old pieces of shit.
Yeah, exactly. You all drink so much fucking scotch.
Like, I hope you strangle yourself with your goddamn tweed jacket with the leather patches on the elbow.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's...
I don't hope that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no,
sometimes
for
I
sure.
think I do.
Yeah, and I mean, like, but that's the thing is that it's just, I mean, it's so interesting how people always talk about, like, people who are, like, feminists or people who are, like, black activists or whatever, and it's like, they're whining. I'm like, how much are you doing? How much are they doing? And, like, it's like, they're like, yeah, this fucking sucks, so I gotta do something about it to mm-hmm. fix the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're like, whiners! Like, all you do is sit around and whine!
Everything's great for me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, you know, yeah, I do have days where I'm just like, I'm whiny and I'm gonna cry and watch Downton Abbey. Like, I do have those days.
Yeah, 100%.
But at the same time, I also have more days where I'm just like, yeah, this week was terrible, I got treated like shit, so now I'm gonna do something about
right,
it.
Right, because the only other option is to just take it and feel awful.
Yeah. And internalize that, like, intense shame that comes along with that, which I've done too.
Oh, yeah.
I've tried that out.
I'm an expert at
that. Doesn't work well.
Yeah, and it's like we actually do have more of like a platform that we can try to enact some change, right?
Sure.
In our various ways that we live. Like, we don't just have to roll over and take shit.
No.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Nice. And I have a lot of women as bosses, so that's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah,
like,
for
even
sure.
Even going all the way up to the dean. It's the dean's a lady.
Yeah, and like...
Lady dean.
And like...
Lady dean.
It's really freaking important, though. Like, people underestimate, and like, it's funny because my coworker, the young and 22-year-old who I love, she was talking about how her grandmother, I guess, was like, oh no, you're working in an office full of women and whatever.
How will you get married?
Well, it was more like she was like, oh, everyone's going to be really bitchy.
Yeah,
and she's like, no,
catty.
It's Hardly. The exact opposite where it's like, no, it's like, that's, I mean, maybe that's what it is in more corporate environments. I have noticed that in corporate environments.
Yes, that I have had that experience.
But in nonprofit, it's a very different environment because the bottom line is not profit.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I worked at the travel agency, I think a big thing, like, when you have a female boss that really is trying to, like, make it in a man's world kind of thing and has, like, adopted all the worst traits.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, this boss was really bad and, like, fostered a culture of, like, pitting people against each other and stuff like that, which
Gross.
Was really awful.
Yeah. Well, it's that competition, too. And, like, I find myself always... thinking something and then being like, no, no, that's the patriarchy talking. Don't think that. Like, you have to do the check.
Yeah.
But, like, step back and you're like, no, that's what society's taught me to think and now I have to have my real thoughts.
Yeah, or, like...
adorable.
Yeah, how you deal with those and how you can, like, recondition your brain to be like, no, instead of being, like, frightened, like, let's be collaborative.
Yep.
You know? And it's the same with just, like, meeting people and, like, different things. Like, when I first met you, I was like, oh, I'm intimidated. She's really gorgeous and she knows lots about comedy. And so,
Shucks.
Like... we had, like, I remember we were at the Railway Club, and I almost felt like we were debating, or I was, like, trying to one-up, like, oh, I also listened to that podcast. I listened to this one, too. And
oh,
I
didn't
like,
feel that way, so that's great.
I know, because then I was like, what the fuck are you doing, Chris?
But it's
this
hard.
This person is awesome. And so then it just, like, then it mellowed out. But
that's
to
the
problem.
Awesome doesn't take away any of your awesome.
But it's so hard, because that's what we're taught, is that one woman's awesome is means that you're less.
Because there only gets to be one woman on the team. Like, the Turtles only have April O'Neil.
Yeah, exactly.
And Chip and Dale only have Gadget. And, like, it's this idea that you had to compete with everybody else for the boys to let you in, and then every other woman has to just fuck off and, like, get married and have babies.
Well, I feel like every good feminist starts off saying, I don't want to be friends with the girls. I'm friends with the boys. Every good feminist.
Yeah.
And then they hate that they ever said that, but I really find...
you have to go through that.
You have to go through that. It's like...
to really witness your own internal misogyny.
Exactly. And it's like, wait a second. When I look back on that, and I'm like, I totally said that. I was like, I have my guy friends, some girlfriends.
It's just less drama. I hang out with guys.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, looking back on that, but what it said, I mean, what it really said was that I'm not satisfied with the way in which, like, I have to be subjected to certain gendered rules.
Yep. Mm-hmm, totally.
And so I feel, but that I feel like that's almost every good feminist I know had that moment of saying that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And deeply, deeply feels guilty about it, but I think it's that learning experience that you kind of have to go through when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
Of being like that, because it gives that initial, but I've noticed less teenage girls are like that.
Yeah.
Like, I actually have faith in teen girls.
They're all talking to each other on Tumblr and stuff.
And I'm just like, talk, please. I love you all.
Learn about the patriarchy super early.
Yeah. And then they're all just like, girls rule, and we're just like, you know, collaborating together and like, like on the same team, which is really awesome.
Like, all these teen activists, I'm just
like,
you are.
Zendaya.
I just love them. I'm just like, when people talk about how crappy teenagers are, I'm like, no, they're actually way better than you.
They're doing amazing things. Like, anything you don't like about teenagers is a result of the fact that they have not hit a developmental milestone that you're at. Like, we don't have patience for younger people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, they haven't learned what we've learned yet, and yet we can't ascribe, like, our successes at things to having had the experience and learned it ourselves. Like,
yeah.
A 15-year-old is going to sound dumb because they don't have the experience you do.
Yeah, but if you actually, that's actually something Guy Branum says, is he says we don't pay enough attention to what teen girls are paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting because, and that's, like, something when I think about it, when I'm like, okay, what are teen girls paying attention to? And so when I look at, like, things like, you know, okay, well, let's look at Rihanna music videos. Let's look at Taylor Swift. Let's look at all this. And then I'm like, hey, some of these ladies aren't bad influences, actually. They're pretty rad, and I kind of get why these teen girls are into them.
There seems to be, like, a lot more sexual agency in performers. Like, in the way that there was kind of in the 80s a little bit, and yeah. then it backslid a lot in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. I think we had, like, Britney yeah. Spears in her, like, she was very much objectified and like,
I
just
still,
put
I feel so
cases.
Bad for Britney. Yeah. I am a Leave Britney Alone person.
Oh, I'm such a Leave Britney Alone person. Like, I never cared about her music, but I just want to, like, protect her. I want to take her to,
same
like,
with
a
Lindsay Lohan.
And cut some yes. sheep.
Yeah. I have so... I just want Lindsay Lohan to be okay.
Sure.
So bad.
Absolutely.
I'm like that poor girl.
I don't want anything bad to happen to women ever.
I know. I'm just like, just please be okay.
Send them to a nice farm upstate where they can run around.
I know, but like that's how I feel about
so
like...
So we're going to send Ann Coulter.
It's like, can we just take like Kesha and Lindsay Lohan and give them a farm and a studio and like some cats and pets? Yeah. Like, can we just like be nice to these poor young women?
Yeah.
But like, I do think it's like Kesha taking that stand when teenage girls love Kesha.
Yes.
That is one of the coolest things that she could have done. Me too!
I'm the biggest Kesha
people
like, yeah,
are
fan
jerks to Kesha.
And
I'm
yeah.
like, Dinosaur was a hilarious song with a very good message.
Yeah, don't let gross dudes hit on you.
Yeah.
And she's...
Old dudes
or
are
laugh
usually
at them
creeps.
When they do.
Yeah.
God.
But it's very interesting how much...
O-N-D-M-A-N, you are an old man. I just... Not, what? You need a CAT scan.
It's amazing. It's a great lyric. But, like, I do find that it's, like, that teenage girls are skipping that phase more so now. And I'm just like, that's fucking awesome that you can get through that phase. Because
yep.
our generation did not skip that phase. We yeah. had to go through it.
Yeah. There was like, it was that's like, really we had like Britney Spears, like Paris Hilton, like just
oh,
a lot
God.
Of like.
So there's so much women hate because we were like,
it
look
was,
at these.
Yeah.
Look at these dumb
like
people.
A lot of batch, yeah. batch.
And they were bitch. All super, it was the heroin chic. It was the super yeah. skinny women on Friends. It was all that. And there's nothing wrong with those. They're beautiful women.
Totally.
But at the same
it's
time,
kind of
it's not the only kind of woman. And that's the only kind of woman we were seeing. So like I ended up, it's like the thin shaming thing, like yeah. I ended up like hating super thin women mm-hmm. because in my mind it was what I wasn't.
Yeah.
So if I wasn't, you know, I didn't have abs, so I was like, okay, well I hate them because they have what I should have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where now I'm just like, that woman looks beautiful. And that woman looks beautiful. And, like, I've actually started, it's a really, it's so silly, but I
you get my affection, you
yeah,
get my affection.
Exactly.
All women get my affection.
Exactly. And it's a really funny thing I started.
Self-esteem Oprah.
Self-esteem Oprah.
When I go on the bus, and I actually told, once again, my partner's 16-year-old cousin to do it, because I found it, like, a really helpful tool. I look around the bus at the women around me, and I pick out one thing that I think is really gorgeous about them, and really awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. I just do that automatically, because yeah. also because I like women.
I just love, like, well, I'm just, like, and I always find something. So I'm just like, that woman looks so tired, but like I just love how even though she looks exhausted, she's just like on this bus and just doing it and reading and like she's obviously studying for an exam or something. So I started mm-hmm. doing that where it's like
humanizing the women around you.
Humanizing all the women around me rather than seeing them as parts, like rather than seeing them as an ab or rather than seeing them as small boobs or yep. rather seeing them as a big butt. So yep. like trying to see the women around me as whole people rather mm-hmm, than
totally.
As, like, parts.
Yeah. That's so, it's so good to, like, find little things that you can do to, like, change your own perspective
exactly,
on things.
Yeah.
Like, for me, just unfollowing everybody who talks about exercise and diet a lot on Facebook.
It's very important.
It's,
yeah.
it's
so
good.
So
like,
important.
Oh, I love you, but I cannot hear you talk about no carbs anymore.
No.
I will hate you if I do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't tell me about your weightlifting. Like, I don't care that you're in a bikini competition. I love you. Go in peace.
You look amazing, but I can't do this.
That's why I don't yeah. have an Instagram. Like, I just... too much comparison. I'm
exactly,
like, no,
yeah.
I need to just love you and feel have good feelings towards you, and I won't mm-hmm. if I keep, like, feeling like you're saying these things to me because I'm not as good as you or something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So it's like, oh, I can control my own experience mm-hmm. online to a
yeah.
degree. Because I'm not a famous person on Twitter, so it's easy for me to block everybody that
Christ.
Hates me. This is, like, four people.
Yeah. Oh, I'm, like, the queen. Like, my Facebook block list is so long. I'm just like, I hate
mostly
you.
I just mute people.
You.
Like, I
oh,
mute so person. Many people, because then they don't know.
Yeah, no,
and I'm like, oh, you had a baby 6 months ago. I look like an asshole. Like,
congratulations on that baby. That's actually, like, I'm same with the diet things, but then when I'm like, I feel like I'm, you know, the opposite of a lot of people, where it's like, I hate the Fitspiration, but I'm like, I think your baby photos are great.
Well, I want to see every baby photo.
I'm like, I want to see every single baby photo.
I want every baby photo, and I want pictures of people's meals. I really do. When people
see,
have
but I don't like the combo. I don't like seeing a baby with food on their face.
No. Like, oh, my God. Spaghetti?
Or like a cake face?
I'm never going to that's such a lie. That's always, everything you say, I'm never going to do when
you're
I have kids.
You're very Italian. You're going to feed your children
spaghetti.
I'm going to
feed them a
and
lot.
You're going to take a million pictures.
Yeah, I'm going to take a million pictures. And, like, that's the thing. You say, everything I've said, everything just I'm like, no. I'm never going to do this when. Like, I've done, pretty much. Yeah. Like, when Instagram came out, I'm like, selfies are dumb. And now I'm like, selfies.
Selfies are revolutionary.
I was like, I look super cute today, and
I just got Prisma, so now I'm taking a lot of selfies too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a goddamn work of art.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, everything
like
says
squares and dots.
Yeah, you're like, look at it. I'm artistic. I'm postmodern.
I'm artisanal. Sell me at the Maker Faire.
But like, that's a step in like self love and
yeah,
you know.
It's all part of the quilt.
But then once again, women get shit on for that too. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you're narcissistic.
Blow me.
Yeah. It's just like, blow me. I don't fucking care if I'm narcissistic,
I'm just
to be honest.
I'm just lucky that I like my face because I like so little else.
Yeah, exactly. Like, can I just
can
like,
I live?
Can I like something about myself? Can I like my shoes, please? They're cute, okay?
Yeah. And then, but then that helps with like, then your relationships with other people, because then you're just like, I feel good about me, so then you existing is not taking anything away from me, you know? It's like, there's an abundance.
Yep. When you start, like, looking at other people going, like, oh, why the fuck are you making me feel bad about myself? You're like, oh, maybe this is an internal problem.
Oh, my
maybe
God.
I don't need to yell at my brother and sister-in-law
oh
for
my
losing
gosh, yes.
weight.
Oh, I have so felt that before, too, where I'm just like, and it's one of those
straight up told my brother that I couldn't wait till he got fat again. It was so awful. I was like, I hate how good you look. Please get fat again.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Oh
my God. I apologized immediately, and he's like, it's totally fine.
Well,
I get it.
My thing is, and this is like the guilty, guilty thing I do, I try not to do it anymore, is the search of the ex-girlfriends
on of
Facebook.
Your current?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Oof. It's what the worst possible thing you can do. It's the worst.
Only thing that feels worse is if you get dumped and then you get to look at their
new
girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or, and then you hate the girlfriend. I'm like, wait, why would I hate this person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I retroactively am kicking myself for doing that with someone who didn't deserve it at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, me too. I've totally done that before, too. And it's one of those things where it's like,
I'm going to go to her house and put ham all over her car because she looks like a ham.
Yeah, it's like, you're like, that was not an okay thing.
She looks like a rum ham, so I'm going to put ham all over her car. This is a real thing I thought about doing.
Oh my God.
I only ever got dumped once when I was 20, so, like, give me a break.
I've never been dumped where they didn't take it back, like, the next day. My dumps never last long. I'm just like, yeah.
Oh, really?
Actually, I'm quite regular. Oatmeal for breakfast is really 10 o'clock every morning.
I thank the Lord that I've never had that inclination to, like, search, like, Facebook stock exes or currents or anything like that. Have I?
Chris.
What? Have I?
Yeah,
she's, like really blocked this part of her...
This person, oh, his new girlfriend's so young and, like, gross.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But that being said,
that was my terrible, like, love affair where I lost my mind. So
we've all had those. Yeah. We've all had those. Like,
that's what it takes. It takes a bit of mind losing.
Well, yeah. my ex dated suicide girls.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is the worst. I was like,
well, I can see her boobs anytime.
I was like,
they're great.
I was like, she looks amazing. I don't know what to do with this. And I was like, and she's smart. Why couldn't she be dumb? Like, and it was one of those things. And then I was like, I don't hide it from my boyfriend though. Like, I tell him, I'm like, Duke and I have looked at every girl you've mentioned ever on Facebook.
Up.
Every single one.
And I've compared myself to them.
And I'm like, and I've compared myself to everyone, and most of them are quite pretty.
I find myself wanting.
And I was like, I'm very concerned here. We went to a wedding recently, and I was like, have you slept with anyone here? Like, just tell me ahead of time. And he's like, no, I really haven't. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, great, that makes this way easier for me.
Oh my God.
God, I can't go to, like, any kind of party where there's a bunch of people that I haven't slept with.
That was me growing.
It sound pretty bad, but it's not that bad. It's just I stay friends with people always. Yeah.
That's amazing, though. Yeah. That's an accomplishment.
I mean, I have a non-relationship with my first ex, and then like had a bad breakup with another person,
yeah.
And then like Mike, I still hang out with all the time. He came
That's
to my
lovely.
Show like last week.
He's great,
and he brought his girlfriend. And I for a while I was like, everyone that he dates is so much skinnier than I am, and they're all, like, cool goth girls, and then I just, like, actually got to, there was only one that was really bad, and everyone else I got to know was, like, really cool.
Well, that's totally what happened with me. Like, my, I'm only friends with one ex because one of them hates me forever, and one of them told me he wanted to move to another continent because he couldn't be on the same continent as me, so I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
That's such an exaggeration.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a pathological liar who, like, also told me he, like, slept with a brother and sister and moved to Japan when he didn't, so.
Why would you lie about those specific things?
But
I did an incest once. Yeah. And I went to Japan.
Yes. No, he did an incest in Japan.
Okay, he did incest in Japan.
With a Swedish model and his sister, apparently.
Of all the things that never happened, that never happened the most.
That's quite creative.
Then he also told me he was dying in 5 years.
Mm. Points for creativity.
Yeah.
Well, see, like, yeah.
Wait, has it been 5 years yet?
I'm actually waiting. So, like, sometimes I stalk him on Instagram, but just to see if he's dead.
You just message him and be like, hey, you're still alive. What the fuck?
It's been 3 years and I'm
what
like,
about your
I...
promise?
Yeah, I was like, I thought you were... Well, it got to the point where I was just like, sure, you're dying.
You look really healthy.
He does. I'm like, you look healthier than ever. I think you're alive.
Yeah.
I think you're alive.
That was, like, basically, like, my dad is a pathological liar as well, and so he told us that he had cancer so that we'd feel bad for him and that he was gonna die. So you need to spend more time with me. I'm like, whenever I spend time with you, it's horrible. Yay.
You're like, thanks for the guilt trip.
He's like, I got testicular cancer from when your mother kicked me in the balls one time. And I'm
like, that's not how it works.
It's not how it works, and she never did that.
She would have been very justified.
Yeah, yeah, I was exactly. Like, I mean, that sounds like, oh, I yeah, it's always really interesting when people are I love when people talk about that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anywho.
Is it time?
I don't know. Is it time?
We've almost been going 2 hours.
That's long time. I think that's time. What do we want to end it on? We had, like, a really good moment a few sentences ago, I feel like.
Yeah.
It was just, like, don't be in competition. That's always kind of what it comes down to. It's like, stop competing with women.
Yeah, it's true. It's, yeah, I think that's pretty much the most important thing.
Team up against men and take over the world. And we start the matriarchy. We have to encode this part so only women can hear it.
Yeah, exactly. How do you do that?
First, we have... So let's talk about shopping. Okay, now that all the men have turned off the podcast.
Oh my god, no, it'll be like, so, my diva cup.
So, periods.
Yeah,
periods.
Exactly.
Like, all right, we meet at midnight.
My
ride at midnight, Manhattan in the distance.
My partner was like, can you talk about your diva cup with your girlfriends? I'm like, nope, I'm talking about it with you. And he's like, okay.
If I had a dollar for every time someone tried to get me to use a diva cup, I could afford a diva cup.
Oh god, I hate the diva cup police, but anyway, that's fine.
Stop trying to get me to put a cup in my twat. Everybody.
I love it.
Like, I'll never stop.
I will evangelize forever.
I use one, but I don't evangelize.
So if anybody listened to the very first part of this and the very end, they would have had a really weird idea of what we were going to talk about today.
And thanks for coming over.
Thanks,
it was a great time.
It was really nice to get to know you more.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad
everybody could see how cute you look.
I'm glad we friend flirted.
Yeah.
That's the best kind.
Want to be on my podcast?
Yeah. I think you're cool.
Do you want to come to my apartment and see my etchings?
Too.
That's how we get to get cute people in here.
That's
how we do it. We're sneaky.
Sneaky. All right. That's hot tip. Start your own podcast and get to hang out with cool people.
Yay.
Okay, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, guys.